the following is a presentation of DRG Media Group Sports.
This is the voice of the Pier Trappers, River 92.7. Welcome to Trappers Warm-Up, a preview of tonight's Pier Trappers game. Now, let's go to the ballpark for Trappers Warm-Up.
It's me again. Hello, everybody. From Corbett Field, I'm Ryan Breeden, your voice of the Trappers after my long and much-needed Father's Day weekend off. I am back, as you just heard my good friend Randy Quaid say from Independence Day. That movie's an all-time classic, actually. But I know him more for his role as Uncle Eddie in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, my favorite Christmas movie of all time. That's a debate for another day, though. For now, we've got some baseball here in Minot, North Dakota. Your Pier Trappers taking on the Souris Valley Saberdogs. Not the first time the Trappers have been here this year. In fact, this will be the sixth game between these two teams here on this field. The first five, not the most favorable. I had a chance to catch up with Trappers coach Jamie Habiger just a few moments ago to pick up with our pregame interviews once again, which took a little bit of an absence. And here is what coach had to say about today's game. And I am now in the Trappers dugout with Trappers coach Jamie Habiger. Coach, I am back after a four-day weekend for me. You guys just came off of that three-day round robin, I guess, in Sioux Falls. One great thing right off the bat, it's not like 130 degrees on the field here.
Yeah, the weather's great today. It's a heck of a change from the weekend, that's for sure.
Andrew Beaver's not here because, what is this called, sun poisoning? Like, just didn't put on sunscreen, too much sun, feeling sick from being out there in that extreme heat?
Yeah, something like that. I think a day off when the guys got some sun at home and didn't realize you have to put sunscreen on out here as well.
There's been some weird injuries this year and just illnesses that we've seen with guys on the team. You have Gabriel Arroyo, who, like, he dislocated his shoulder. We've had some stomach illnesses go around, sun poisoning, common colds. You had your stint. It's just been one after the other.
Yeah, it has. We're just a walking virus over here.
I guess so. Something we're doing wrong. But so back against the Saberdogs, and obviously last road trip here. Five games. Didn't quite go super well. Outscored 74-5 in those five games. What do you guys need to do to turn this around here?
Yeah, you know, we played them pretty tight down there. Mm-hmm. We had a couple innings where we probably shouldn't have made a few errors, and we were right in it with these guys. I think we're back. I think hopefully those days of 20 runs to not many is over.
And so you've got Casey Cheva on the mound, and his one start he made against the Saberdogs. He was pretty good, went seven innings, gave up just four earned runs. Looks like he'll probably hopefully have another dominant start out there today.
Yeah, Casey came to me this morning. He said he's ready to go, so he wasn't in the plans, but he's a grinder as well. He's one of the leaders in the clubhouse, so I'm looking forward to seeing him throw tonight.
My last real question before our Would You Rather. This is the first game of a 25-day-in-a-row stretch. That is crazy. That is unheard of. Is that unheard of for you?
Yeah, that's pretty unheard of. You know, with our lack of pitching, it should get interesting here in next week, and then, you know, until we reset in the middle of next week, and it'll be interesting with pitching, but we're ready to go.
So is the mentality just kind of you take it one game at a time and just figure it out for that game, or do you kind of have to pre-plan a little bit because of this amount of games in a row?
Well, the good thing about playing only three other teams is we kind of know the game plan going to each one, so we're just taking it day by day, and hopefully we break out the bats and have one complete game. That's all we need, and we can beat anybody.
Right. All right. Now for my Would You Rather question. This is one that I took a great amount of time with when we were on the bus here. I did it in my own head. It could be a little bit incoherent, so here we go. Would you rather be able to know what other people think of you at all times, or be able to go back in time twice and change the outcome of certain things? So you get two of them. Over the course of your entire life, you get to pick two things to go back and change, or people, you always know what people think of you at all times.
I'm going to take what people know about me. I'm not, you know, I try to live for the future and not the past, so I try not to dwell on the past, and that's what I preach, and that's what baseball's all about. But I would, I'm an open book, you know, if people know about me, good for them.
All right, sounds good, Coach. Thanks, and good luck today, and we'll talk to you post-game.
Thanks, Ryan. Go Trap.
The voice of the Pier Trappers, River 92.7.
Now one's lined into right field for a base hit. That will get down. One run will score. Coach Jamie will wave him around home, and he will score too. That's a two RBI single.
Pier Trappers Baseball is brought to you by Grey Goose Motors, The Outpost Lodge, Tokyo Japanese Cuisine, The Corner Station and The Crossing, Classic Car Wash, Darren Boyle Sales, Avera St. Mary's Hospital, First Dakota National Bank, and Pier Regional Airports. Now, Pier Trappers Baseball.
Are you doing video as well?
And welcome back in here to Corbett Field. That interview I had with Coach Jamie Habiger went a little bit long, went right through the anthem, all the way through. But that's all right, you know, it ended up working out well. Ryan Breeden here, your voice of the Trappers. I will be joined momentarily. I see him walking up the stairs. CJ Cumbo will be joining me. He is not in the lineup today for your Trappers. I have the lineups, and I could tell you them here before we get started. Starting pitcher for the Soares Valley Saberdogs, Brett Laura. This will be his final start before heading on to other ventures and parting ways with the league. College teammates with Will Hoke and Gabriel Arroyo. For your Trappers, it will be Hunter Brown leading things off, followed by Noah McCreary, Will Hoke, Anthony Barraza, Trevor Seagraves, Maddox Mueller, Colby Rich, Carson Trumpold, and Jacob Griffin, who settled in nicely into that number nine spot. And there we go. We're about to get the first pitch underway, and now for the first time putting the headset on is CJ Cumbo. I think you are unmuted now. First pitch, swinging, strike one. We are underway here. CJ, can you hear yourself?
Yeah, I think so. Whoa, this is so cool.
There you go. You got it. In the street clothes today, the 0-1, and it's spotted on the outside, 0-2. Quickly underway here. Hunter Brown down on the count, 0-2, leadoff batter of the game, 0-2 pitch, chopped right back to Laura, who fields it on a bounce and takes his time and lofts it up to first base and gets the first out of the game. So Hunter Brown puts the ball in play, but a pretty routine out number one. CJ, you've got some hamstring stuff you've been dealing with, you know, in the street clothes today, wearing the hoodie, the hood up, going hoodie mellow, you know.
Yeah.
How's your leg feeling?
Honestly, it hurts a lot. It every time I sit, mm-hmm. It's very uncomfortable. And
called strike one to McCreary. So like sitting right now, does it like just feel weird?
Yeah, I feel like tingling in it. So it's not the best feeling.
This is something you've been dealing with since the start of the year, right? It's a big swing and a miss. 0-2 the count.
Yeah, I've been dealing with it since the spring, actually, during my school season. So
it's one of those lingering injuries.
Because
I know you left that game in Bancroft, Iowa, after getting an RBI single in the first inning. Had to get pulled from that. And a high fastball gets a swing and a miss. So McCreary goes down on strikes. Trappers, two quick outs here in the top of the first. Yep, you got your own water up here. They treat us very nicely up here in the Corbett Field grandstand we've got here. Give all of our guests waters. They've given a few of them popcorn. I'm kind of jealous of that.
I am jealous of the popcorn, too.
Will Hoke, first pitch, swinging. Will Hoke goes to the same school as Brett Laura, so a little bit of Oklahoma School of Science and Arts action here. Brett Laura on the mound, Will Hoke at the plate. The 0-1, and it runs inside. Count 1-1. We had a little bit of a same school action when the Pilots faced your Trappers for the first time last week. The 1-1, and that misses. Caleb Hay was able to strike out his college teammate, Micah Barkenhagen, four times, giving the golden sombrero.
Oh, that's got to be rough.
Gives you those bragging rights pretty much for the rest of time. The 2-1. Dubbed in foul ground on the move, and they'll run out of room over there. So the count now, even at 2-2, two away here, top of the first inning. Trappers wearing the navy blue jerseys. Saberdogs wearing the white with the different colored sleeves and the airplane on the front. The 2-2 nubbed off the handle. Going to take a tough bounce in the throw to first in time. So a nice play there from Cruz at shortstop to put things away. So the Trappers go down 1-2-3. And it is 0-2-0. We'll take a quick break here and come back for the bottom of the first on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Griggs Motors. I have an automotive key addiction. I go to the junkyard, I take keys out, I take them home, I pick them, I disassemble them, and when I get good at that, I hang upside down, and I take them apart and do it as fast as I can. So before you go to a dealer, I can save you a lot of money from a tow, and I can do things with automotive keys that dealers can't even dream about. I can do broken keys, I can do key programming, key fobs, anything to do with automotive keys that they tell you that you can't do, I can do. Come check me out at GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com.
At Darren Boyle Sales, I am thankful for this recent moisture, and we continue to get ready for mowing season with a great selection of Bush Hog mowers. Bush Hog mounted and pull-type mowers in sizes from 7 to 15 feet, Bush Hog zero-turn mowers in 3 models, and Bush Hog tillers, 3-point discs, and mounted blades ready for work this spring. I also have Bush Hog rakes and disc mowers on hand for this year's haying season. If you need farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317, like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page, or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
Welcome back in here to Corbett Field. Ryan Breeden, your voice of the Trappers, joined by CJ Cumbo here in the grandstand. Score is 0-0. The Trappers went down in order in the top of the first inning. So it will be Casey Kasheva taking the hill here at Corbett for the second time of the season, facing that Saberdogs lineup. They are ordered as such: Luis Pelayo, Hunter Delanoy, Ben Neubert, Chris Monroe, Jason Cruz, Jake Barlow, Ben Lavorsky, who's a bit of a new one for the team, Eddie Martinez, and Alex Crouch. So we're about ready to go here. CJ, you're a New York guy, not something that you really would think when you hear you talk. You know, you don't really have that typical New York accent.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Everybody, honestly, they don't really know where I'm from when I talk, because I don't really...
First pitch outside, ball one.
I don't really have that New York accent, but it's like, that's more of the city, and I'm just like 30 minutes out of the city, so it's different.
Did you go to the city a lot? And that just misses outside.
I feel like when you live in New York, like kind of like 30 minutes from the city, you really just don't feel the need to go to the city.
It's one of those things you avoid it because you're like, there's a lot of tourists, a lot of unnecessary traffic, and just too much headache. Makes sense.
Driving through New York City is honestly the worst.
The 3-0 pitch here. Kasheva looking to get in the strike zone and cannot do so. That's a leadoff four-pitch walk to Luis Pelayo. We'll bring up Hunter Delanoy. You know, I've always wanted to like go and visit New York City, just the New York area. I wanted to live there too. I thought it would be cool to live there, like right after college, go there as like a early 20-year-old. But I obviously would need to go there a little bit first to know what it's like before I move.
Yeah.
What would your suggestion be?
Honestly, I think living in the city isn't...
I missed inside for ball one.
Isn't all the hype, but okay. Like living just outside the city, it's nice and like relaxing, and you don't have like... It's like not the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like the city that never sleeps, it doesn't sleep. So if you're...
The opposite of Pierce, South Dakota.
Yes.
The city that sleeps after 9:30 p.m.
Oh,
that is that city.
It is so different. But I do like it. I do like Pierce.
It is a nice... It's a nice vibe. I like it too. The 1-0 and that one missed as well. So six straight balls from Casey Kasheva to start out the game. Just needs to try and fire one in there. He had some command issues in his last start as well against the Pilots, hit six batters and walked four of them, and that really was the difference maker in that game. Looking like maybe that's leaking over here a little bit. The 2-0, and that missed outside, ball three. What are you seeing from Casey here?
I just feel like his leg and his arm aren't connected when he like when he's throwing.
Is it some leak over from that last start, you think? Is it still kind of some of that mental thing? And there is a strike.
I don't think it's a mental thing from last game. I think he's just a body feel thing. Like he has to make an adjustment, and I think he will.
He fired one in there, and the pick over to first. Good idea. Barraza snags it, but Pelayo in there safely. A lot of speed on first base. Luis Pelayo has an inside-the-park home run and a triple against your Trappers this season. The 3-1, Pelayo on the move, and it misses outside anyway, so the throwdown will not matter. Would have been safe anyway. No, they're going to say that was strike two. We didn't get a signal from the home plate umpire, so I assume that was ball four.
Late call.
One of those instances where I'm okay with being wrong.
Yeah, it looked like Carson held back on the throw because he also did not hear a call.
Yep. So Pelayo steals second after that little bit of confusion, and now we have a 3-2 count and the pitch. Fouled off straight back here. We will do it again. There they go, playing Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. They do it after every two-strike foul ball. What's your music taste, CJ?
I'm actually a really big country guy.
Okay.
Which is also a thing that's not very heard of in New York.
So how did you get into country music?
I don't know.
Payoff pitch. Nubbed into foul ground. Colby Rich on the move. He runs out of room, and it lands harmlessly out of play. Cue the music once again.
So my brother got into country music, my older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started listening to it because of him. And, yeah, just haven't listened to really anything else.
All right.
Besides that.
Runner on second base here. Nobody out in the bottom of the first. Hunter Delanoy at the plate. Luis Pelayo on second. The count 3-2. Kasheva fires and missed high for ball four. So back-to-back walks to start out the game. Runners on first and second. And that brings up Ben Newbert. We all know the type of power that Ben Newbert possesses. Hit 22 home runs last year with Bloomsburg University. Broke the program's all-time record. He has 3 home runs so far this year, which actually is not even top 5 on this team, which is scary to think about. First pitch missed up in it. Called a strike, actually.
This umpire has a lot of late calls.
Yeah, you know, he's making life harder for me.
He is.
Trying to put me on my toes. Say, all right, Ryan, here's your first game back in a little while. Have fun. And the pick back to second, and it hit him on the back. So Pelayo might need a second. That one got him right between the shoulder blades. Right between the 1 and the 0. Oh, that's... I always hated getting hit between the shoulder blades. Those ones hurt.
Yeah. Shoulder blades and... anywhere like on the arm, like around your elbow, that's the worst pain.
Anywhere where there's not a whole lot of meat.
Yep.
Nubbed foul to the right side. The count now 0-2. Runners on first and second. The wind blowing straight in here.
That's a good sign.
Flag out there in center field. Pitcher's friendly, perhaps. Kasheva looks in, and the 0-2 pitch hit on the ground to short, and it is through for a base hit. Pelayo will be held up at third. It's a strong throw home from McCreary, but it does not matter anyway. So base is now loaded. After that, base hit through the left side from Ben Newbert. And this is probably the last guy that you want at the plate right now, if you are Casey Kasheva and the Trappers, Chris Monroe, Central Michigan, senior, 6'5", 250, towering right-handed power, 8 home runs already in 21 games for the Saberdogs. And he has bases loaded in the first. First pitch, off speed, and a called strike. So an opportunity for the Saberdogs to jump out early here. Nobody out in the bottom of the first. Nothing, our score, base is loaded. If there's one thing we have seen from Chris Monroe, though, and I think you can probably attest to this, he's kind of a dead red hitter.
Oh, yeah.
0-1. No, it's back to Kashevi. He'll have a force out at the plate. They'll get one and the throw to first in time. Talk about a much-needed double play. Monroe chops it right back to Kashevi, who gets the force at home, and then Strumpel gets the out at first as well. Huge double play. So now two away. A run does not score. And there are now runners on second and third with two outs. Trapper's a chance to get out of this thing. Daesun Cruz up now. First pitch. Bounced it. In the turf. Corbin Field with that all turf. It's a good thing that it is not as hot here right now as it was in Sioux Falls, because I wasn't there, but I heard that it was bad on it, that turf.
It was very...
1-0 pitch missed outside.
It was very, very hot. While we were there, I think the highest, like, feel that it got to was 105, about.
And you were on turf, so that just amplifies that.
Yep.
So I would assume it was probably up over 120, easily.
Yep. Around there.
Kashevi looks in the 2-0, bounced it. Ball three. If you were to walk Daesun Cruz, there is a base to put him on. With runners on second and third, it would bring up Jake Barlow next. Barlow actually has a grand slam to his credit this year against the Trappers. Back in that series here at Corbett Field. 3-0 pitch. There's a strike right down Broadway. So we have a 3-1 count, two away. Bottom of the first, runners on second and third. Daesun Cruz, the shortstop. The 3-1. Sliced foul. Kashevi battling. Do you prefer playing infield on the turf or on regular dirt and grass?
I prefer playing infield on a nice, clean cut grass.
Okay.
With not a lot of bad hops.
Yeah.
But
the payoff pitch and a swing and a miss. Foul tipped it into the glove of Trumpold. And a huge strikeout there for Kashevi. Gets out of the jam. It was bases loaded. Nobody out. Turned a double play from home to first for the first two outs. Then gets a strikeout there. So Kashevi gets out of it unscathed. We go to the second inning. 0-0 our score here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Living with less pain means living at your best. But an action-packed life can wear your body down. Avera Orthopedics keeps you moving with total joint replacements for pain you don't have to live with. Find relief with the region's largest orthopedic physician team of specialized surgeons so you can keep moving forward. Avera, moving health forward. Learn more at avera.org/sf-total joint.
The Crossing Inn Pier is a must-stop for ice-cold beverages in a relaxed atmosphere. They have 16 beers on tap. Many of them are from breweries all around South Dakota. And with a full liquor selection, they can mix up the drink you are looking for. Their staff is ready to serve you and your friends. Like them on Facebook to get information about drink specials and event information. Stop on down to The Crossing, located at 115 East Pleasant Drive, right next to the corner station.
And welcome back in here to Corbett Field, Minot, North Dakota. We are tied at zero after one inning of play. Kashevi, the starter for the Trappers, able to get out of a bases loaded. Nobody out jam. The Trappers now here in the top of the second will look to do some damage. Ryan Breeden here joined by Trappers infielder CJ Cumbo for the time being. First time he's had the headset on. What do you think of the view up here?
It's a very nice view. I like it.
It's one of my favorites. First pitch of the inning to Anthony Barraza. First pitch swinging.
Missed high it.
In the air to left field. Easy play out there and left from Pelayo, and he makes the catch. Just got underneath it. Barraza rocking the Top Gun stash. He's been a big Top Gun guy since you guys went and saw that movie.
Yep. What was it, like about 2 weeks ago, too?
Yeah, and he's rocked with it since. It's filled in pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Could be better. Could be worse.
Think you could grow a better one?
Yeah, maybe.
You kind of are rocking like that, like goatee, half goatee type of thing. Always, you know, the chin.
Little chin goatee thing. I always have it.
Respect it. Trevor Seagraves here with one away in the top of the second. Squares to bunt and gets a nice one down. Laura ranges to his right. The throw bounces and is not in time. Probably would have beat Seagraves there. But the throw just skipped away from Monroe at first base. Pretty good idea there from Seagraves just to try and get on base with a bunt. And they're going to rule that as an error on the official scorecard. One of those, you're like, come on, give me a hit.
Yeah,
man.
It's like a 50-50 one. Hard play for the pitcher, but.
So Seagraves is aboard with one away. Maddox Mueller, first pitch, called a strike. And again, that late strike call from the home plate umpire. Count 0-1. You talked about squaring to bunt to get out of your hitless streak a couple of nights ago. I remember we talked about that.
Yeah, I squared up.
To the right side, foul.
Every time I squared up, it would just be a ball. Then I would just swing for the next pitch. And
well, from what it seemed like, I was keeping track of the games this weekend. You were able to break that.
I broke it.
Was it game one?
It was the first game we were out there. Mm-hmm. And I also got hurt in that same hit.
Yeah. 0-2 the count. Seagraves on first. Maddox Mueller calls time and steps out. So what do you think the recovery process will be like for you with your hamstring?
It's going to be a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be going home this weekend.
Okay.
And we'll see what the doctors say back at home.
The 0-2 hit in the air out to foul ground, their third base, and that goes out of play. It's on top of the batting cage nets, where they're well out of foul ground. So the count now 0-2, one away here. Trevor Seagraves reached on a bunt, and he's taking off here, and the pitch skips away, and so Seagraves slide in easily. That one got away from Livorsi, the catcher. Almost thought he could have taken
third
there, and they called that a strike on a pitch that looked like it was up near the collarbone area.
And away.
Yeah, Maddox doesn't like it. He's got some words there for the home plate umpire. Did not like that one very much. Understandably so. He's having a chat with Anthony Barraza now, just saying, you know, it wasn't you, wasn't your pitch, nothing you can do about that. So after the strikeout now, runner in scoring position for Colby Rich. Takes a first pitch breaking ball for a strike. That's one of the things, too, you know, early on in the game, don't really know what the umpire is going to call, so you kind of have to feel your way through that strike zone. And so far we've seen it's been a little bit of an adventure. 0-1. Breaking ball, swung out and missed. Colby Rich needs to battle here. Runner in scoring position. Trappers have stranded 169 runners on base this season. That's the most in the league. Got a runner in scoring position here with two away. And the 0-2 missed outside. Looks like Brett Laura knows exactly what he is doing right now, trying to see if he can just keep on extending out that zone and see if he can get that called strike three. The 1-2, chopped foul, staying alive. Sliced into that Saberdogs dugout there in the back corner. I still don't think I've gotten over that, the dugout locations being back in the corners.
I kind of find it very cool because we also have the clubhouse under it.
Yeah.
It's just a different view, too.
It's super unique. The 1-2, and a swing, and a miss. Went back to that curveball. Got him waving at that one, and that will end the inning. So Seagraves is stranded at second base. Trapper's still tied, though, here through an inning and a half. We'll take a quick pause and come back for the bottom of the second here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi. Conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza, Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or take-out in the pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carry-out orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
I'm DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra. Whether you're at home, traveling around the world, or anywhere in between, you can take River 92.7 with you. How, you may ask? Activate the River 92.7 Alexa skill or download the DRGNews.com app, a service of Golden Buffalo Casino. Both are easy to set up, allowing you to enjoy high-quality sound wherever you go. Again, take River 92.7 anywhere you go by enabling the Alexa skill or downloading the DRGNews.com app.
And welcome back in here to Corbett Field. We are tied up at zero through an inning and a half. Ryan Breeden here, joined by CJ Cumbo. Can't forget about Heather Williams, my lovely producer back in the studio. She texts me during the break and says that she's just the body in the studio. No, she is much more than that. First pitch of the inning, missed outside to Jake Barlow. So Kasheva in the bottom of the first was in a bases loaded nobody out jam, but got out of it. The 1-0 gets the call on the outside. Like maybe a good frame there from Trumple, the catcher. Able to spot it. The 1-1 popped into shallow right field. Looks like it'll be an easy play for Jacob Griffin. And he makes the catch with Maddox Mueller kind of breathing down his neck there. Trying to scare him there a little bit, I guess. Yeah. Say, hey, I'm here. Yeah, it could be my ball if I wanted it.
Yeah, a little bit of fun. Gotta make it fun.
So Jacob Griffin barely had to move out there in right field for the first out. Maddox can cover a lot of ground. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
His reads are very good, and his routes are very good, too.
And that one missed outside. Ben Lavorsi, this is the first time that I have seen him. The first time the Trappers saw him was this past weekend. Behind the dish, the 1-0 pitch missed. And they're going to say that one hit him on the back foot. Like it was that slider. Tried to go back for that disappearing slider maybe. And just ran it in a little bit too much. So Lavorsi reaches safely on the hit by pitch with one away. It will be Eddie Martinez, center field.
He's new too.
He is new. Have you seen Eddie Martinez yet? Did he join the team just since this weekend?
I think he joined them in Sioux Falls, I believe.
Had a whole bunch of new guys here since I've been on the call, trying to confuse me. And first thing I notice right off rip is that he is very tall. First pitch swinging, looks like a changeup there. I actually don't even have a height. Let me go get one quick.
We're gonna put 6'3", I'm guessing.
I don't know. I think he's taller than that.
Oh, wait, actually, maybe.
The 0-1 pitch, swing and a miss again, goes back with the off speed. Let's see what I can find, if this is the right person or not. You never really know, you know, trying to find people on the rosters, trying to scourge the internet. You never really know what you're going to find. The count is 0-2, that much I'm for sure of. The 0-2 pitch, chop to the right side. Barraza fields it on a bounce to throw to second, in time for one. Throw to first, not in time. Fantastic play over there at first base from Anthony Barraza. Leaped up and got that force out at second base. So now two away here. It will be Alex Crouch, number 9 hitter for the Saberdogs. Runner on first base after that fielder's choice. Two away, bottom of the second. By the next time that Eddie Martinez comes up, we will have a height on him. That much I promise.
I'm still kind of jealous of the popcorn.
Me too. A little bit. A little bit jealous of that. Pick over to first. Good idea, but not in time. Come on. Casey Kasheva on the mound. He has thrown 32 pitches. Two outs. Looking for two shutout innings. Picks over to first again. Barraza trying to sell the tag and say maybe he got him. Looks like throw is probably a little bit behind him now.
Still trying to find Eddie Martinez's height.
The hard part is you never really know like where they went to school, you know. you never really know any of it. So you're just like, oh, okay, I mean, I guess I'll just roll with it. Runner takes off for second, and there is no throw down.
By the looks of it, he's not even on the roster.
So now at the top of the hour, I need to do my legal ID, but Heather is going to laugh when I tell her this. I never got the paper back from John Hunt, so I'm going to have to try and recite this off the top of my head. I'll do that after this pitch, and we'll have to see how I do here. The 1-0 pitch missed outside. Driven by the Office of Highway Safety, River 92.7, KGFX FM Pier. When you bet with safety, you bet your life, so please buckle up. I think I nailed that. I think I nailed that, CJ.
Yeah, no.
I usually have a script in front of me where I get to pick a few of them. The paper's not here today. The 2-0 missed high. Yep. Fantastic. Thank you, Heather. I'm proud of myself for that. This is the count 3-0. Alex Crouch, left-handed hitter. He stands just like Cody Bellinger. Literally exactly like him. The 3-0. And there's a fastball right down the middle. For a called strike one. He has that upright stance, the bat rested on the shoulder in that very far front, far back corner, I guess, of the left-handed batter's box. The 3-1 pitch turns on it and pops it foul, drifting and up over the grandstand onto that tin roof for strike two. So the count is full. Two outs, bottom of the second, nothing our score, runner on second. Have you been able to find anything on Eddie Martinez?
I have not.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I haven't been able to
find. I feel like it's a fairly common name, so there's probably a lot of Eddie Martinez's that have played baseball. Had a huge lead there. That's roped to right field, and that will get down for a base hit. They're going to send Martinez around third. The throw is cut off. And that is the first run of the game. A two-out RBI single from Alex Crouch, the third baseman, just pulled that one up over the head of Barraza. And the long strides of Eddie Martinez covered a lot of ground very quickly. He scored from second base with ease. So that breaks our scoreless tie. SaberDogs now leading it 1-0 here. We are back to the top of the order. Luis Pelayo, he walked on four pitches in his first at-bat. First pitch there misses low. Is that the right? I don't think that is, because 6-1 is not right. We're trying to investigate here to see how tall Eddie Martinez is. I think he's at least 6'4". Pick over.
I think 6'3-ish, around there.
Kasheva has really been working on the runners on base, trying to limit the stolen base, the advancement of runners. The 1-0 missed outside, ball two. Luis Pelayo normally was the center fielder, but has moved over to left field for this game, replaced by Eddie Martinez in center. The 2-0 swing and a miss. As I mentioned, for Pelayo, not a very tall guy out there, 5'8". Probably about as tall as you, CJ, right?
Yeah, he was about the same height when we talked during the game when he was on second base.
The 2-1, runner on the move, fouled off. So the count 2-2, and Crouch has to go back to first. What are some of those talks like between middle infield and the base runners of the other team? You know, are they fun? Is it like joking? What, you know, what are those like?
I usually just joke around with them, like if they get a hit or something. I like if when one of our outfielders throw the ball in, just like mess around, tag them mm-hmm. for fun. Like obviously when they're safe.
Pelayo chased that one and fouled it off. Probably would have missed up and outside, but either way, fouled it off. Down 2-2. Runner on first, 2-2 count here, and the 2-2 pitch, and just throws the hands at it and lines it into left field for a base hit. When I say that he threw the hands at it, literally, it was a fastball on the outside,
didn't swing very hard at all. Just threw the hands out there and kind of flicked the wrist and just lined it to left field.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when he made contact, he only had one hand on the bat. About.
As crazy and as weird as that looks, that takes a lot of concentration and a lot of talent to be able to do something like that. Be able to just ride with it and take what's given to you. Runners on first and second now after that. And that off-speed misses inside to Hunter Delanoy. He reached on a walk in his first at-bat as well. Saberdogs leading it 1-0 here in the bottom of the second inning. Runner in scoring position. Two runners aboard in total. Kasheva and the 1-0 pitch with a fastball. And that is, I don't know, he didn't give a signal, so that's called ball two. It looked good.
Yeah, it looked good. Guessing it was probably a little bit low.
What have you seen here from this zone now through, I guess, four half innings of the home plate umpire? Are you seeing any sort of zone start to take shape? 2-0, hit on the ground to second. Seagraves fields and flips to second base in time for the third out. So one run scores for the Saberdogs. It was that RBI single from Alex Crouch with two outs. But ultimately, the Saberdogs strand two more runners aboard. And we go to the third inning. Your Trappers trailing just 1-0 here, looking to get the bats rolling here and tie this thing up. On the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Experience the Outpost Lodge, overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised Cowan Ranch beef. For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804.
Not every beer has a backstory, but this one sure does. Introducing Dakota Thirst, a new honey lager brewed locally with a touch of South Dakota honey. For every beer sold, a dollar goes to the South Dakota Community Foundation. Cheers to you, South Dakota. Learn more at firstdakotabeer.com. First Dakota National Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back in here to Corbett Field. I almost just said Hyde Stadium. We are not at Hyde Stadium. It feels like we are never at Hyde Stadium. Over the last 3 weeks, it's only been, what?
Three days
worth of baseball at Hyde Stadium in the last 3 weeks. But after this two-day stretch here in Minot, we'll have seven straight home games. First pitch to Carson Trumpold. Goes with the curveball and gets a called strike one. So now, great time for us to transition into what we were trying to talk about there in the bottom of the second. Saberdogs leading 1-0, by the way. This strike zone we've seen from the home plate umpires, that's a called strike two fastball right down the pipe. Have you seen it start to take shape at all, you know, over these two and a little more than so innings?
Yeah, it looks like...
And just missed outside.
Looks like the umpire away to most of the guys and above the knees.
Above the knees. So it got to extend it a little bit upward. The 1-2 pitch from Laura. Chopped it. Foul. Staying alive. So when that's the case, when you have an umpire who is maybe pushing that zone a little bit off the plate, do you step up in the box a little bit, step closer to the plate? How do you combat that?
You could always take like a half step toward the plate and just think the other way. Most of the time, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. So Brett Laura, Saberdogs starter, the 1-2 pitch, takes it the other way to right field. Going to be a tough play, and it will drop in for a base hit. So there's the first hit of the night for the Trappers. Exactly what you said, you know, just try and think opposite field. Exactly what happened. Looked like it was maybe off the end of the bat. Didn't hit it hard, but sometimes you don't have to. Just dropped it there right down that right field line in shallow right. Now the leadoff runner is aboard. So Carson Trumpold reaches on that base hit, and it will be Jacob Griffin. First pitch missed high.
Griffin has really settled in nicely to that second leadoff, number nine spot in the order. He's really thrived there. And the 1-0 pitch, and that missed outside. Since Griffin has stepped into that number nine spot, he has hit two home runs, a couple extra base hits, batting over 300 in that nine-hole spot as well. 2-0, rope to right center field, and that's going to get down for extra bases. So just as we're talking about the extra base hit, Carson Trumpold goes to third, and they will send him home, and the throw gets away. So Carson Trumpold will score easily, and Jacob Griffin strokes an RBI triple into right center field, and we are tied at one.
Great piece.
We were just talking about his comfort level there in that number nine spot. Just drove one into right center field. It rolled all the way to the wall. Tied up here. And the go-ahead run on third base.
With no outs.
Nobody away. Hunter Brown. First pitch missed well upstairs. So it was an RBI triple from Jacob Griffin to deep right center field. Brought in Carson Trumpold. Now the 1-0 pitch to Hunter Brown. Skied foul to the right side, out of play. If the Trappers were to convert here, it would be their first lead of the season against the Saberdogs. You know what I just did, though, now that I just think about it? The 1-1 missed high. You ever heard of the announcers, Jinx?
Yep, we might have just hit the announcers.
I might have just done it. We'll see. I have done that a few times this year, mostly for good. I usually try to twist it around to work for the better. The 2-1, it to the right side, probably will be foul, and it is caught in foul ground, and Griffin will tag from third. The throw is off the line, and the run will score. I was just thinking about it, you know. If the right fielder, that was Hunter Delanoy, tried to make that catch in foul ground, you're kind of gambling with the idea of Jacob Griffin trying to tag. So I guess in that situation, he thought it might have had an idea of being able to get a throw in there, but it pulled him off the line. Trappers take the lead and thankfully counteract my announcer's jinx.
Yeah, at that point, with that foul ball, it's the lose-lose. If he catches it, he'd tag up like he did.
First pitch to McCreary, roped to right field. Now we'll get down for a base hit. So after the sacrifice fly, McCreary gets a base hit and throws the hands up to the heavens. He even makes the gesture saying he wants the ball. Just snapped a bit of a hitless streak there. Let's actually go look right now, as you can hear the train.
He did get one in Sioux Falls while we were there. He did break it there.
Okay.
But it's been a rough stretch.
Been a rough stretch for Mr. McCreary, and he takes off for second to throw down a good one, but it skips and is not in time. So a stolen base for McCreary now as well, and now a runner in scoring position. You know, just about a week and a half ago, Noah McCreary was batting around 330. He is now batting 212. So if that kind of puts in perspective the kind of cold streak that he was on, but able to get a base hit, as you mentioned, in Sioux Falls, which I wasn't there for. So did it really count?
Nah.
And then able to get one just a second ago. Will Hoke comes up empty on the 12-6 there. A lot of downward movement. The count 1-1. Trappers leading it. 2-1 here in Corbett Field. With that potential third run in scoring position. 1-1 pitch. Hit to the left side. Pelayo on the move and makes the catch on the run. And I think they're going to have McCreary doubled off at second. You know what? He looked up at the scoreboard and saw that it said two outs on the scoreboard. That was not right. There was not two outs in the inning, and McCreary, rather than going by the outs on the field, went by the outs on the scoreboard, which was wrong. So he was running on contact and got doubled off at second. That's super unfortunate. So the Trappers scored two, had an opportunity for more, but a little bit of a base running blunder on some confusion. But the Trappers have a lead. Nonetheless, that's what counts. The Trappers leading the Saberdogs for the first time this year through 2.5 innings. We'll take a quick break and come back for the bottom of the third here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their 4 wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Now you can book flights from Pier Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pier Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jets, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pier Regional Airport.
Trappers leading it 2-1 here, going into the bottom of the third inning against the Soares Valley Saberdogs. The first lead for the Trappers against these Saberdogs this season. First pitch of the inning fouled off by Ben Neubert. The count 0-1. Ryan Breeden here, joined by CJ Cumbo, Trappers infielder, who is on the injured list right now. The 0-1 pitch runs inside. We've got all sorts of sounds going on here. We have that train that's going by right now. You've got the police sirens.
The train is going by very slowly.
It sure is. You ever just wonder, like, what could possibly be in all of those cars? The 1-1, that one skipped away outside. Do you ever just look at a train and think, why is it so long?
Yeah. This thing is huge. It's been going...
Like, there's just black tank after black tank. What could they possibly need all of those for?
It's got to be oil or something.
If it was all oil, I would hope the gas prices would start to go down. As that one's ripped to third and just foul. Colby Rich outstretched the glove at third base. Was going to be a tough play, but it did not matter anyway as it hooked just foul. So the count now 2-2. Gas prices are crazy right now, aren't they? Oh, my gosh. So when you go home, are you going to drive back home?
I am going to drive home.
Oh, man. How long of a drive is that?
It's about 24 hours.
Oh, my Lord. I split it up. The 2-2. Change up swing and a miss. Foul tip, they will say, for strike three. Changed up the speed and had Neubert out in front. So that's a strikeout for Casey Kasheva. His second one here of this short outing so far. And a big out number one. We'll bring up Chris Monroe. You know, maybe we should ask Ben Neubert, who just struck out, about the whole gas thing. Is that one in there for a called strike? Neubert, it says, at least on their school website, it says he's a supply chain management major. Maybe he can tell me why on earth I can't find a PlayStation 5 either. The 0-1 pitch to Chris Monroe skips away. It's the count 1-1. Chris Monroe is a big boy. I want, you know, just so I can figure out how tall our guy Eddie Martinez is, I want him to stand next to Chris Monroe because Monroe is 6'5". So that could tell me. The 1-1 waved at and missed, and there it is again. You know, I guess the scouting report on the big first baseman for the Saberdogs. Pound the off speed. He's sitting dead red, you know, try to throw that slider away. We'll see if we get that here on the 1-2. We do get off speed, and he's rung up for strike three.
He knew it right away.
Monroe was stepping out of the batter's box pretty much right as the pitch was crossing home plate. So back-to-back strikeouts for Kasheva here to start out the top of the third. Got two big bats in a row there, too, in Neubert and Monroe. So a two away here in the bottom of the third. Base on Cruz, who ropes one to center field. Maddox Mueller is there, and a 1-2-3 inning. Casey Kasheva settling in a groove on the mound. Got out of that inning very quickly. three up, three down. The Trappers holding on to a 2-1 lead here as we go to the top of the fourth. The Trappers offense looking to add on some more runs here. On the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
The Corner Station in Pierre can help you get ready for all of your activities and trips all summer long. Fuel up your car, grab snacks, drinks, and coffee, and get on the road so you can make the most of the beautiful summer months. Save 10 cents off per gallon when you pay in-store with cash or a check. They are open every day at 7 a.m. Stop into the Corner Station located at 103 East Pleasant Drive on the S-Curve in Pierre.
Are you ready to win Twins tickets? DRG Media Group is giving you a chance to win four tickets to a Twins home game. It's the Take Me to the Twins sweepstakes. Head to your favorite station page at drgnews.com. Register daily through June 29th for your chance to win the Take Me to the Twins sweepstakes. We'll announce the winner June 30th. Take Me to the Twins from DRG Media Group, the Long Branch, River Cities, Public Transit, Eisman Home, Slumberland Furniture, and Masterpiece One Stop Smoke Shop.
So it was just a 10-pitch inning for Trapper starter Casey Kosheva to carve his way up and through the heart of the Saberdogs order in the bottom of the third inning. Two strikeouts getting Ben Neubert and Chris Monroe, and then getting a first-pitch lineout right after that from Deson Cruz. Trapper's leading it 2-1 here in Minot, North Dakota. Corbett Fields, Anthony Barraza will stride in to lead things off here for the Trappers in the top of the fourth. Ryan Breeden here joined by C.J. Cumbo. First pitch of the inning, bounced it in the turf for ball one. C.J., how many positions have you played on the field over the course of your time playing baseball?
I have played
1-0 pitch. That one missed low as well.
I have played every position besides first base.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So can I make a educated guess as to why first base has not been one of those positions yet?
It may
the 2-0 big swing and a miss. The count 2-1.
Being around like 5-6, 5-7 is not a good. Compared to 6-5 Chris Monroe on the other team.
Oh, boy.
You want a big target at first base.
There was one time I don't remember who it was that was standing on second. Is that one another big swing and a miss? The count now 2-2. I think that you were playing second base. It was here at Corbett Field. You were standing on there near second, and it might have been Chris Monroe that was on second base as well, and I made a comparison of Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve. 2-2, roped to third base, and it's down. It could be extra bases down that left field line. Barraza rounding first, takes the big round, going to second. He is in there, standing up. So a leadoff double for Anthony Barraza. Hooked that one down that left field line. And now a leadoff man in scoring position. You want to know what I am seeing right now from this lineup?
Much better hitting.
Confidence.
A lot of confidence here, too.
I'm seeing confidence. You know, that first series here that we had on the road against these Saberdogs, rightfully so, you know, you kind of sensed a little bit of intimidation, maybe thinking, you know, like we're playing against guys that are 2-3 years older than us, guys that have had more experience in baseball, guys that are bigger, you know, all these things, right? I don't really sense that right now. I sense a Trappers lineup that has confidence. Laura will step off and check Barraza back to second base. Do you kind of agree with that, the whole confidence thing?
It does. It looks like we're playing a lot better, a lot more confident, especially at the plate.
Trevor Seagraves, first pitch, swinging on the ground to first. That will advance Barraza to third. So Seagraves does a job there, just moving the runner over. One of the things that, you know, Seagraves, he knows what he is doing. He's a shorter guy, contact hitter. He knows, like, the little things of baseball, you know. You have a runner on second base. If you can hit just, like, a ground ball to that right side of the infield, you can move him over 90 feet. And in that situation, that works
perfect,
extremely well.
Yeah.
So you've got a runner now on third base with one away, so you get a sacrifice fly, you get another ground ball to that right side, a hit. You know, there's really a lot of ways, a passed ball. You could bring that runner in now much easier being on third base with one out than second base with one out. We have a mound visit here. Coach Kieran out to check on Brett Laura.
Looks like there's some action about to start in the pen, too.
It does look that way. Laura here so far through an inning and a third. Four hits, two earned runs, three strikeouts, 42 pitches in total. Just a quick conversation. Looks like they'll let Laura stay back out there. From the University of Science and Arts in Oklahoma, teammates with Trappers Will Hoke and Gabriel Arroyo. But Gabby, just like you, Gabby's about to go home as well. But this time, he's probably not going to come back.
He's not going to come back, I don't believe. He is getting an MRI.
First pitch to Maddox Mueller, went with the curveball and got a swing and a miss. So for that dislocated shoulder that he suffered about 3 weeks ago now at this point in Bancroft. The 0-1 pitch hit foul to the left side. So the count now 0-2. Corner infielders playing in on the grass. Middle infielders kind of squeezing it up a few steps in as well. Mueller chokes up on the bat here in the 0-2. And the pitch, and it bounced. And I think the approach here for Maddox Mueller, definitely just don't go down on strikes. Put the ball in play any way you can.
Exactly.
1-2, and a called strike three on the outside. Second time he's been rung up there this game. So now two away. That runner still on third base. That will bring up Colby Rich. Trappers leading it 2-1 here over the Sabredogs in the top of the fourth. Two runs on four hits. First pitch to Colby Rich, and a half-hearted swing there. Comes up empty at that off-speed outside. Rich struck out in his first at-bat of the game, one of four strikeouts here for the Trappers so far. The 0-1 pitch, and there's a called strike two on the outside. Brett Laura knows his strike zone now, and as you've mentioned a few times before, just pounding it outside. Barraza is on third. 0-2 pitch, and just able to foul that one off. You know, maybe if he was able to, he came up empty there and gets the drop third strike, he could run to first and Barraza could try to make it home.
And might also do a job on that.
Now we have an 0-2 count. Laura gets set and the pitch, and it missed. So the count 1-0 here. Trappers looking to add on to a one-run lead. Any insurance run that you can get is massive against these Sabredogs. The 0-2, and got him swinging. So Brett Laura worked himself into a jam after the leadoff double down the line from Anthony Barraza, but Barraza ultimately stranded at third after back-to-back strikeouts from Maddox Mueller and Colby Rich. So the Trappers don't score any there in the top of the fourth, but threaten to do so. We'll take a quick pause and come back for the bottom of the fourth. Trappers leading it 2-1 here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their four wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Experience the Outpost Lodge, overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised Cowan Ranch beef. For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804.
Welcome back in here, Corbett Field, Minot, North Dakota. Your Pier Trappers leading it 2-1 over the Soares Valley Sabredogs. The first lead of the season between these two teams. The Trappers have not led up until this point against the Sabredogs, and they have played, eight games against each other.
I think
eight games.
Lose,
because it was five on the road here, and then it was one in Pier,
at home, and then one,
and then
in
one
in.
So this is game eight.
This is game eight.
This is game number eight between these two teams. First pitch of the inning, hit on the ground to the left side, and it's snagged, and a long throw from Brown, not in time, but an excellent backhand there, deep in the hole. It was almost an impossible throw anyway. So Hunter Brown made a nice play.
Ran all the way down the line for fun.
Why not, you know, run that one out. Tried that Derek Jeter-esque throw. So that's a leadoff infield single from Jake Barlow, and that brings up Ben Livorsky, the catcher. The runner on first, the tying run on first, here in the bottom of the fourth, and the pick over. Nothing doing. Ben Livorsky joined the team not too long ago, June 12th. And I'll tell you what he did in his first ever start here in a moment. First pitch, cranked to right field. That would have been a home run, but he could not keep it fair. That pretty much perfectly sums up what Ben Livorsky did. His first three at-bats with the Saberdogs were all home runs. So Ben Livorsky, in his first ever game, 3-for-3 with three home runs. Back on June 12th. He would have had one there, but could not straighten it out. The 0-1 misses outside. Throw down to second on the stolen base attempt. And the runner slid off the bag, and they'll say the tag was not on there, though. So Hunter Brown keeps the glove on him for as long as possible. So that's a stolen base is what that will go down as for Jake Barlow. Looked like he might have slid off the bag, might have just barely kept those fingertips on there. Used the extra length he gets from that base runner's mitt to make sure he clung to the bag. So runner in scoring position now. Nobody out. 1-1 count to Livorsky, and that missed outside for ball two. Four hits apiece for each team. Left-handed hitting catcher, Ben Livorsky. The 2-1. Crank to right center field. That'll get down for a base hit. Maybe more. They will round Barlow and send him to the plate. He will score easily in the throw to second, not in time. We are tied up at two after the RBI double into right center field from Ben Livorsky. And now we've got Eddie Martinez back up there for the second time. Reached base on a fielder's choice and scored the first run of the game. Saberdogs have now tied it up here at two. First pitch, missed. And the go-ahead run for the Saberdogs over there on second base with still nobody out. Infield shifted to the left. 1-0 pitch, bounced it. Got another train coming through. Wonder what this one's carrying.
It's going approximately 10 miles an hour also.
I don't get it. Heather texted me and said that most of those train cars would probably carry either ethanol or like liquid fertilizer. Sounds pretty gross. The 2-0 pitch missed high. The count 3-0. And you know, I just realized, CJ, we failed. We said that we were going to have a height on Eddie Martinez by the next time he came up to the plate. Here he is, and we don't have a height.
Yeah, we just couldn't find anything. We'll stick with 6'3", 6'4".
Got to turn in the headset. 3-0, there's a called strike. So Kasheva gets back there in that right side of the strike column. Makes it 3-1. Martinez. And the 3-1 pitch inside, and it missed for ball four. So a five-pitch walk from Casey Kasheva. Now maybe a little bit of danger here for the Trappers. Runners on first and second. Nobody out. Alex Crouch had an RBI base hit in his first at-bat. An opportunity to do more of the same. First pitch squares to bunt, and it gets away, and that allows for the runners to advance to second and third. That kind of changes things, especially for the infield. Now you go from playing your typical double play depth to everybody playing in on the grass. So that pass ball kind of changes things. Infielders all playing in their red defense, you know, whatever you want to call that infield alignment. Just depends on where you're at. The 1-0 pitch, and that is a called strike on the outside. Alex Crouch, left-handed hitting third baseman, has two runners in scoring position, nobody out here, bottom of the fourth, tied up at two. And the pitch, and it missed inside and gets away. He'll have a play at the plate, but it is not in time. So a run scores on back-to-back wild pitches. So Lavorsi scores. Martinez advances up to third, and the Saberdogs reclaim the lead here, 3-2. And now they'll relax the middle infielders back just a tad. And the pitch, cranked foul on the ground to the right side. The count now 2-2. Alex Crouch looking to add some insurance for the Saberdogs, who regained the lead here just a moment ago. Kasheva looks in, and the 2-2 pitch hit out to left field. Going to be a long run against the wind, and it is off the wall in left field. One run will score easily, and that is an RBI double to left center field from Alex Crouch. Makes it 5-2. Well, 4-2, actually. Saberdogs leading 4-2, and we will now have a quick mound visit. What are you seeing from the Saberdogs here in this inning offensively?
Just putting balls in play. Not letting the umpire decide their outcome.
Three hits in the inning so far for the Saberdogs. Two of them extra base hits. That most recent one, an RBI double off the wall in left field from Alex Crouch, his second RBI of the game. 2-for-2 with a single and a double and two RBI. Saberdogs were down 2-1 coming into the bottom of the fourth. They now lead it 4-2. We are back to the top of the order. Luis Pelayo, he is 1-for-1 with a base hit to left field in his last at-bat, has reached safely in both of his plate appearances. Still nobody out here. In the bottom of the fourth, three runs have scored. Kasheva now over 70 pitches as well at 71. About to be 72. And the first pitch, skied to the left side, foul, out of play. Luis Pelayo up there from Aruba. If you could pick one place to travel, where would it be? Just like outside of the U.S. anywhere. The 0-1 misses outside 1-1.
I don't know. I think, what is it, Iceland?
Iceland? Okay.
Iceland,
okay.
I think.
All right.
Or Sweden or something like that.
The 1-1 pitch. On the ground to second. Going to be a tough play for Seagrace. Fields and flips on the move, and it is in time.
Where's one place you would want to travel to?
I've always wanted to go to... I have three. I've always wanted to go to Australia.
That's a big one for me.
I wanted to go to England. And then I want to go to either, like,
I guess I'll have a couple more. Thailand will be really fun. Japan will be really fun. And then like Switzerland.
That'd be cool. Yeah, Australia is actually up there with mine too.
I feel like it'd be a fun place to be. Cranked to right field. That's going to be extra bases for Hunter Delanoy. A run will score. It will be 5-2. Delanoy cruises in to second base easily. That is the third double of the inning for the Saberdogs, and they extend the lead 5-2 now. And they look like they've been aggressive at the plate too, as you mentioned. You know, not letting that home plate umpire decide their fate. A lot of first pitch swinging for the Saberdogs here, just trying to be as aggressive as they can. It's paying off.
Yeah.
So Ben Neubert now, first pitch swinging, comes up empty. It's a fastball upstairs. So Hunter Delanoy is on second base after an RBI double. Ben Neubert, 1-0-2 in this game, and that one misses. Actually, Neubert is 1-2 with a strikeout. I was looking at Chris Monroe's stat line. Seven hits now for the Saberdogs after four of them coming in this inning. Kasheva looks in the 1-1, and it's hit to the left side. Brown fields it, but takes a bounce away, and there is no throw to first.
Would have been a hard throw anyway.
That'll probably be a fielding error for Hunter Brown, would be my guess. Would have needed a strong throw to get Neubert at first, even if he had fielded it cleanly. But as you mentioned, after it skipping away, no point in trying it. Only bad things can come from that.
Yep.
You know, one thing that I learned from playing baseball, and I'm sure that you have this same sentiment, a lot of the times in this sport, the phrase less is more is very, very impactful. You know, you don't want to try and force things, don't want to try and do too much, because that is when you can make some mistakes.
Yeah, that's when you make some errors, get tensed up, and then you start thinking.
Chris Monroe, first pitch swing, and he absolutely crushed that to left field, but it is way foul. I don't even know where that landed. Oh, my goodness.
Landed.
That just landed in the street, way out there, past that outfield wall in left field. That would have been a
monster,
no doubt shot. That might have went over that house over there in left field. Well, we said dead red. He was sitting fastball and he got it and was way out in front. The 0-1 pitch, and of course changing it up there and getting a foul ball to the right side. If I'm Casey Kasheva after that first pitch, I'm saying I am not throwing a fastball again this at bat.
Yeah, me neither. I would not throw that again.
You know, honestly, even though it doesn't really count because you've only pitched a third of an inning, you have the best ERA on the team.
I know.
You're not eligible because of your lack of innings in the pick over to second. Not in time.
My walks per nine, definitely through the roof, though.
Hey, it's okay.
Faced
it's okay.
Two guys, walked one. It happens.
You have a zero ERA.
Yeah.
Look at that. Too bad, doesn't count. you can just don't tell people how many innings you pitched. That one misses. We count 1-2. Runners on first and second. One away here. Bottom of the fourth. Chris Monroe at the plate. Four runs have scored in the inning for the Saberdogs, who now lead it 5-2 over your Trappers. Kasheva looks in. Would expect anything but a fastball here. And the pitch, and does. Well, maybe it looks off speed, but kind of slipped out of the hand a little bit. Maybe it looked like he was trying to run that slider, but could not grip it, so it missed inside. The count now 2-2. On the first pitch of this at-bat, Monroe absolutely turned on a fastball and crushed it way foul. The count 2-2, and does change it up with the off-speed. Gets the change up for a swinging strike 3. So there you have it once again. Chris Monroe just cannot put bat to ball when it's off speed. That is his second strikeout of the game.
I believe it's now his third, actually.
I've got two right here, but, you know, it could be wrong. It could be wrong. You never know.
Game changer could be lying to me as that one's ripped foul to the right side.
I'm trying to recall what he did in his first at-bat.
Let's just go play-by-play here. Dason Cruz. I know Dason Cruz is 0-2. So Monroe, if we scroll back all the way to the bottom of the first, he grounded out into that double play. That's right.
Yep.
So, I mean, really not any better. And that one's popped up into shallow left field. Who will get there? Hunter Brown called off by McCreary and left to Cam Sunder and makes the catch for the third out. So the Trappers do get out of the inning, but not before the SaberDogs put up four runs in the bottom of the fourth and take a 5-2 lead into the fifth. We'll come back here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Griggs Motors. I have an automotive key addiction. I go to the junkyard, I take keys out, I take them home, I pick them, I disassemble them, and when I get good at that, I hang upside down, and I take them apart and do it as fast as I can. So before you go to a dealer, I can save you a lot of money from a tow, and I can do things with automotive keys that dealers can't even dream about. I can do broken keys, I can do key programming, key fobs, anything to do with automotive keys that they tell you that you can't do, I can do. Come check me out at GregGooseMotors.com, GregGooseMotors.com, GregGooseMotors.com.
Now you can book flights from Pier Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pier Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jets, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pier Regional Airport.
Ah, why am I so sore? There are everyday moments.
Oh, hey, hold the ladder! Hold the ladder!
Yeah, that hurt.
And there are epic moments.
Fly! Class of 1995!
When a moment creates a health need, visit the experts at Avera Orthopedics. We're moving health forward so you can tell the story. Learn more at avera.org/orthopedics.
It's the easiest way to shop locally online and save. Discount deals at drgnews.com any time of the day or night with great savings on items and services. Cowboy Country Stores in Pier and Fort Pier, Prairie ATV and Cycle, Andrea Royer Studio, Classic Car Wash, Gator's Pizza Pasta Subs, and more. Register to save your payment information or shop as a guest. Just click on discount deals at any station page on drgnews.com. Discount deals from DRG Media Group.
And welcome back in here to Corbett Field. Top of the fifth inning, Carson Trumpled at the plate in an 0-2 count here. A little bit after the start of the inning, 0-2 waved on and missed for strike three. So Trumpled goes down on three pitches here to start off the fifth. That will bring up Jacob Griffin. Had an RBI triple into right center field in his first at-bat. Looking to get aboard here. First pitch swinging. Changed it up on him. Count now 0-1. And the pitch fouled off straight back. Just missed it. Ryan Breeden here with CJ Cumbo. Not sure how long CJ will stay up here. Probably just depends.
I was thinking after this inning. This happening, I might head down.
Sure. And a swing and a miss. Griffin goes down on strikes. So two quick strikeouts. You know, this is one of those times when I will try to use my announcer's jinx in our favor. Through two batters so far, Brett Laura has an immaculate inning through two batters. And first pitch called strike one. So Brett Laura, if he can get two more consecutive strikes here, it would be an immaculate inning. The 0-1. And it's popped up in to center field. Martinez is under it, and he makes the catch. So at the very least, you know, it's not an immaculate inning. So I kind of used the announcer's jinx. It works. A super quick half inning here. In the top of the fifth, Trappers go down in order. Two strikeouts and a pop-up. We'll go to the bottom of the fifth inning. Your Trappers trailing 5-2 here on the voice of the Trappers. River 92.7.
At Darren Boyle Sales, I am thankful for this recent moisture, and we continue to get ready for mowing season with a great selection of Bush Hog mowers. Bush Hog mounted and pull type mowers in sizes from 7 to 15 feet, Bush Hog zero turn mowers in 3 models, and Bush Hog tillers, 3-point discs, and mounted blades ready for work this spring. I also have Bush Hog rakes and disc mowers on hand for this year's haying season. If you need farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317, like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page, or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
The BRG Media Group Sports Players Perspective Podcast.
It's the best, best of the best of the best. The best athletes in the world playing the game of football.
And peers Brandon Cruz will get to see them each week this season as a new National Football League official. One more visit with Brandon Cruz on the Players Perspective Podcast. Listen or download at your favorite station page at the DRG News app and DRGNews.com. Brought to you by American Bank and Trust and Avero Orthopedics.
They're back in here at Corbett Field. Trappers trailing it here 5-2 through 4.5 innings of play. The Trappers had a very quick top of the fifth inning. First two batters striking out in 3 pitches, and then it being a pop up to center field from Hunter Brown. Casey Kosheva is back out there for his fifth inning. He will throw pitch number 86 right away here. He will face Jake Barlow. First pitch hits right center field, hit well. Going to be a tough run for Maddox Mueller, who makes the catch while sliding backwards. Cue the Sports Center music. You know, I guess it was a pretty long run there for Maddox Mueller. Able to make the catch on his backside while sliding back there towards that warning track in deep right center field. What can't Maddox Mueller do out there with the glove? He has fantastic speed, fantastic range. Showed it off there. So a quick first out. Kosheva throws a ball low. That one there to Ben Lavorsi. Kosheva looks in and the 1-0 pitch. And there is ball two that missed just low. And I have another guest here. Fantastic. Save me from having to just talk to myself for the entire game, please. Have you put this on? So the 2-0 pitch upcoming. And the pitch. And there's a called strike. Let me unmute you here. Eric Lindberg, joining me for the first time. How is it going, man?
It's going good. We've got a good ball game going here, so if we come back. And
sure do.
Yeah.
2-1, that has popped up. They're in shallow left field. Hunter Brown under it, called off by McCreary, who makes the catch. And actually, I think that is Daniel Hab in left field now. That is Daniel
Hab. That is Daniel, yeah.
So McCreary is out. And Daniel Hab, who typically is a catcher, does not really have that catcher's body, though. He's got a lot of speed. They mentioned that he ran a sub 6-second. I'm trying to remember what they said it was. I don't remember what type of sprint that he did in high school, but he was really fast at it. He stole like 20 bases last year with his college as well. Very fast. Mentioned that he plays outfield sometimes as well. He's out there right now. The count now, 1-0. Eddie Martinez still don't have a height on him. How tall do you think that he is? First pitch cranked up the middle.
Least.
There's a base hit for Martinez. That was what I said, too. CJ said that he thinks he's 6'3", and I was like, no, he's got to be taller than that.
Yeah, no, he's a lanky guy. 6'4". I give him 6'4".
Just lined that one right up the middle, so now a two-out base hit. Puts a runner aboard for Alex Crouch. So for the listeners that can hear Eric Lindberg, if you can hear that, maybe a little bit of that Canadian accent. We've got a Canadian boy up here with us. Eric, you're kind of an international traveler as well.
Yes, I've done my fair share of traveling and playing baseball while traveling.
A called strike. Where's been? See, we're just in You were in Germany just before this, right?
Yeah, all around. Yeah, I was in Germany for the most part, but we went to we started in Germany, went to Austria, played in Europe's biggest tournament in Austria, went to Slovakia after that, and then Hungary.
And so you did this with the Canadian, one of the national teams, right?
Yeah, it's
that
called...
slides it. Poor stolen base there for Eddie Martinez.
It's called the North. They bring kids mostly from around Canada to go over to Europe and showcase kind of Canadian ball and also get us exposure over to what professional baseball looks like over overseas, since there's many opportunities over there that... we don't really know about over here in America.
One swing and a miss. And so you mentioned Canadian ball. Show people what Canadian ball is. Is there a difference between Canadian ball versus your traditional American ball? Is there any type of like little nuances in the way the game is played?
I would say we're definitely pitcher heavy up in Canada. We do develop a lot of pitchers just because we're inside most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The other big thing difference is we swing wood since freshman year in high school, where
really?
They swing aluminum down here
all the way through college, pretty much, except for in these leagues like here.
Yeah, no, so we swing wood all year round up in Canada, but I think the pitching's a little better up in Canada. You see a couple
popped foul, going to be a tough play for Colby Rich. He runs out of room. So that's a foul ball.
You see a couple, or you're seeing a lot more Canadian MLB pitchers make it to the MLB. So it's good to see. And baseball's definitely growing up in Canada, which I'm a big fan of. So
one of my favorite players on my favorite team is Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah,
and he's a Canadian. I love his Canadian accent. He's got the speed. He has the power. You know, you have a lot of guys in the majors that are from Canada that you maybe not even realize it. There's a swing and a miss for strike three. So Kasheva gets out of the inning and pitches a zero, responds nicely after giving up that four-run fourth inning. So that holds it at 5-2. Trappers trailing it as we go to the top of the sixth. We'll pick up our conversation here with Eric Lindberg, but first we'll take a quick break on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi. Conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza, Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or takeout in the pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carryout orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
Oahu Days used to be just another weekend in July until someone had the brilliant idea to make buffalo chip throwing a competitive sport. There used to be no banks in South Dakota until First Dakota filed the first charter in 1872. Every thriving business and tradition, including buffalo chip throwing, was started somewhere by someone who had a dream and the passion to make it happen first. What will be your South Dakota first? Visit firstdakota.com/first. Member FDIC.
Welcome back in here to Corbett Field. It will be Daniel Hab leading things off in replacement of Noah McCreary. I'll have to check up and see if that's just a schematics thing, if that's a injury-related thing. I'll have to ask Coach Jamie Habiger about that after the game is over. Maybe try to shoot down a quick text, see if he answers. Trappers trailing at 5-2 against the Saberdogs here. Top of the sixth inning, Hab first pitch swinging and fouls it off. Ryan Breeden joined here by Eric Lindberg, our international product from Canada. We were having a conversation that last half inning about Canadian ball. We'll pick that up here in a second after this 0-1 pitch. And that one misses. During this last commercial break, Eric, you were talking about how good the view is from up here.
Yeah. No, it's I was surprised coming up here. It's a nice view. I could get used to it up here, honestly, being up here.
Hey, it's nice. You know, you're in the shade at all times, and there's a fastball that runs in there. Another thing that really allows you to do, too, is get a good view of the strike zone and what the umpire is calling for a game. You know, like, for example, today, this home plate umpire feels like his zone is kind of outside, you know, like it's kind of extended.
Yeah.
We see him try to go upstairs and does not get the call there for Brett Laura. You just really see it when you're back here like this. You know, at Hyde Stadium, We have definitely the nicest press box, but it's kind of offset over to that right side, so you look at it more down the third baseline. And a curveball got away and a miss from Daniel Happ, so he strikes out swinging in his first at-bat. Brett Laura, that is his eighth strikeout and five and a third innings pitch, so he has really turned it around here in these last two and a third innings after giving up those two runs in the top of the third. So far, of all the places you mentioned that you have been traveling, Eric, which one has been your favorite one to go to? Will Hoke, first pitch swinging on the ground to second. Barlow fields it on a hop and throws to first in time for the second out.
I would definitely say it would be in Germany. I have a German background. My dad was born and raised in Germany, so I kind of have a special connection to Germany. You know what? After college, I really do hope I get to go back there and play some ball after and potentially live there after. I love it. I've been there a couple times and has a special place in my heart.
I've never traveled outside of the U.S. The only time I've ever been outside of the continental U.S. is when I went to Hawaii. First pitch to Barraza in there for a called strike on the fastball. I have a few areas that are on my bucket list that I want to travel to outside of the U.S. I was actually just talking with CJ about that before you got up here. As the 0-1, there's a fastball that just missed upstairs. On that list, I included places like Australia, Switzerland. I didn't say Germany, but Germany is one that I have definitely wanted to go to. Austria, that one missed. And then like England, Japan, Thailand, stuff like that. Would Germany be like your number one recommendation for one that I should definitely try to go to?
Yeah, I think there's so much to do in Germany. Okay.
The 2-1, big swing and a miss for Barraza, so the count now 2-2. You know, one of my best friends and one of my roommates back at school, he's a huge soccer guy, really into like the Premier League and stuff like that, and he's always said that he wants to go to Germany. So that one's popped to the right side, maybe playable for Monroe, but he runs out of room. So the count remains 2-2.
Yeah, no, the people in Germany are amazing, and the food's good, drinks are good, and like I said, it's been my favorite place to visit in Europe so far.
I'll have to definitely go when I can. I want to start traveling. Probably when I graduate from college here soon, I'll try to start traveling around, and we get a called time from the catcher. And Eric, how old are you?
I just turned 21.
That's right. You know, one thing I remembered you, I think I remembered you saying this when we went and got food. You're used to having drinks with your meal, right? So maybe it's not, you're a little bit not used to it. That one's fouled off by Barraza as well. You know, kind of something along the lines of it's in the places that I usually am at, it's usually like a custom to have a drink with your meal.
Yeah.
Not as much the case here in the States.
Yeah, no, definitely back home in Canada and over in Europe, definitely it's a culture thing to have drinks during our meals and everything. So it is a little different down here, especially with the age being 21. But it's nice. It's a different culture being down here, and I've lived down here now for a few years, so I'm getting used to it. But I do miss it sometimes, and sometimes people look at me a little weird when I'll have a drink all the time during one of my meals.
3-2, swing and a miss, so strike three. So Brett Laura goes 1-2-3 to get the Trappers down here in the sixth inning. We'll take a quick break and continue our conversation with Eric Lindberg after this break. 5-2 the score. Trappers trailing it through 5.5 innings of play here. We'll have a new pitcher on the mound as well when we come back here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Griggs Motors. I have an automotive key addiction. I go to the junkyard, I take keys out, I take them home, I pick them, I disassemble them, and when I get good at that, I hang upside down, and I take them apart and do it as fast as I can. So before you go to a dealer, I can save you a lot of money from a tow, and I can do things with automotive keys that dealers can't even dream about. I can do broken keys, I can do key programming, key fobs, anything to do with automotive keys that they tell you that you can't do, I can do. Come check me out at GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com, GreyGooseMotors.com.
The Crossing Inn Pier is a must-stop for ice-cold beverages in a relaxed atmosphere. They have 16 beers on tap. Many of them are from breweries all around South Dakota. And with a full liquor selection, they can mix up the drink you are looking for. Their staff is ready to serve you and your friends. Like them on Facebook to get information about drink specials and event information. Stop on down to The Crossing, located at 115 East Pleasant Drive, right next to the Corner Station.
Welcome back in here, Corbett Fields. I know that song was Life is a Highway. Me and Heather, my producer back in the studio, are going to start playing a game at some point called Name That Song, where she's going to play a song and we come back in from a commercial break, and I'll have to see if I can name the song. Ryan Breeden here, joined by Eric Lindberg. First pitcher of the inning, Tynan Shahidi in there, and the first pitch might be extra bases right off the bat, and it is, and it bounces over for a ground rule double for Luis Pelayo. Just pokes the bat out to that one, has that raw power to drive it on one bounce over that left center field wall. That's a leadoff double. A lot was just going on there when we came back from the break. I feel like I just said a lot of words. Eric, we were just talking about, you know, traveling around Europe, things like that over this last commercial break. You mentioned to me staying in a hostel, you know, to try to get to know as many people as you can. I feel like that would be just such a enriching experience, you know. First pitch, and that missed. Hunter Delanoy. So as I mentioned, Tynan Shahidi is on the mound for the Trappers. And the 1-0 pitch, line foul off to the left side. Oh, it's time for me to do my legal ID again. And again, I don't have my paper, so we're going to have to try and recite this off the top of my head. Driven by the Office of Highway Safety, River 92.7, KGFX FM Pier. When you gamble with safety, you bet your life, so please buckle up.
Not a boy.
I usually have a paper, but you know, I gave that paper to our GM, John Hunt, when he did the broadcast for this weekend, and I didn't get him back, or at least I didn't look for him yet. And so I'm just like, oh, well, we can do it off the top of our head. That's no problem. The count now, 3-1 to Hunter Delanoy.
It sounded pretty legit, so
hey,
we'll go with it.
Thanks. There's another thing that I wanted to talk to you about that I heard about as well, and I can really attest to. It's a 3-1 hit on the ground to second. Seagraves on the move, fields it and throws to first in time. A bit of a low throw, but Barraza, a good job there of picking him up on the throw. So now two away. It advanced Pelayo to third with one out here. And so, okay, back to what I was saying has been Newbert standing in. You and Maple Syrups.
Yes.
So after we throw this first pitch, I'll go into that. And the pitch missed upstairs. So you brought your own bottle of maple syrup with you, right?
I did. Well, I brought it as a gift to my host family.
Okay. 1-0 swing and a miss. Went the off speed and got him.
So
now 1-1.
My family owns a maple syrup farm. And unfortunately, we didn't have enough. We didn't have the greatest season, so I wasn't able to bring any of our own personally. But
in the air, Barraza at first, ranging in on the infield and makes the catch for out number two. So a big fly out there on the infield to get the big bat of Ben Newbert. Chance to get out of this thing unscathed after the leadoff double brings up Chris Monroe. But back to the maple syrup talk.
Yeah, so I was able to bring one of our family friends, maple syrup, over, and it was supposed to be a gift to our host family, but I do use it quite often because I do like Canadian maple syrup. I do think there's a big difference, locally grown, and you just gotta love it.
So the count is 0-1 to Monroe, and he cranks that one into left field. That will get down for a base hit. So a two-out RBI single for Chris Monroe brings in Luis Pelayo, and that makes it 6-2. You know, another thing about maple syrup, I can kind of sympathize with that because my family, you know, I grew up for the most part in Wisconsin on a big farm where we have a lot of land, a lot of trees and stuff like that. So we made our own syrup as well.
Yeah.
And so I can really, like, I agree, like, when it's homemade, it is so much better than just, you know, like the generic syrup you get from the store.
Yeah.
But it also takes a lot of sap, as Monroe is going to be caught down at second, and he's not going to slide in ahead of the tag. So it looked like Monroe was just trying to see if he could maybe bait Tynan Shahidi into balking there on the mound, but Shahidi did the right thing and just stepped off and calmly threw to second base and got Chris Monroe out there at second. So that will end the inning. We'll come back here for the top of the seventh. Trappers trailing 6-2. We'll continue our talk with Eric Lindbergh about Canada, maple syrup, international travel, anything, you know. We'll have some fun with it. But first, we'll take a quick break and come back here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Living with less pain means living at your best. But an action-packed life can wear your body down. Avera Orthopedics keeps you moving with total joint replacements for pain you don't have to live with. Find relief with the region's largest orthopedic physician team of specialized surgeons so you can keep moving forward. Avera, moving health forward. Learn more at avera.org/sf-total joint.
At Darren Boyle Sales, I am thankful for this recent moisture, and we continue to get ready for mowing season with a great selection of Bush Hog mowers. Bush Hog mounted and pull type mowers in sizes from 7 to 15 feet, Bush Hog zero turn mowers in 3 models, and Bush Hog tillers, 3-point discs, and mounted blades ready for work this spring. I also have Bush Hog rakes and disc mowers on hand for this year's haying season. If you need farm equipment of any kind, give me a call at 222-0317, like the Darren Boyle Sales Facebook page, or shop online anytime at DarrenBoyleSales.com.
That's the way to do it when you first start.
And welcome back in here. Corbett Field, your Pier Trappers, trailing it 6-2 against the Soares Valley Saberdogs here in Minot, North Dakota. Game one of this two-game road series before these teams pack it back up and play in Pier. It will be the start of a seven-game homestand for the Trappers. Ryan Breeden here with Eric Lindbergh.
I got to say, I think Trev, I love his swing. He's my favorite swing on the team.
First pitch swinging, chops it right back to Brett Lohr. It's going to be a tough play. Fielding on the run and Cruz to first is in time. Looks like that maybe jammed Trevor Seagraves on the hands a little bit. Bounced it over the head of Brett Lohr. But Dason Cruz at short made a fantastic play, fielding it on a hop and getting the out at first. Yeah, Trevor, you know, he's a shorter guy, but full contact swing. It's very smooth.
Very smooth.
Very good at just putting the ball in play like he did there, even though it resulted in an out. Maddox Mueller now, first pitch swinging and fouls it off. And so as I mentioned just a moment ago, it will be a seven-game homestand for the Trappers. Feels like we have not had very many home games at all this year. And the second pitch nubbed there and maybe into foul ground on the right side, and it drops foul.
Yeah, I think I've only played two home games.
2 days, three games in 2 days, but those were the first games we had. Because if you go back and look at the schedule over the last 3 weeks, we have played 4 games at home.
Yeah.
But we will have 7 in a row, and it'll be great. Have our upcoming 7-game homestand Thursday. We'll have the Salute to Service and DRG Media Night. DRG, which is where we broadcast all of these games on the radio. And swing and a miss. So Maddox Mueller goes down on strikes for the third time tonight. And he'll probably come back up again at some point here and try to avoid the golden sombrero. It's not a hat that you want to wear. We're talking about the culture, you know. The golden sombrero, though, is not a hat that you want to have underneath your belt.
No.
Colby Rich will stride in now with 2 away already here. First pitch fouled off. So I mentioned Thursday, our Salute to Service night. And then someone can also win a trip to Denver on the Denver Air Connection giveaway on Friday. Well, actually, I don't know what day that is. I think it's Thursday. John will have to text me and tell me a little bit in a second here, and I'll for sure relay that as there's a swing and a miss on a fastball up. John Hunt, our GM, listening. He tells me all the details, and I relay them to you guys. But what I do know is with our Denver Air Connection partnership, we will be giving away plane tickets for a trip to Denver. 0-2, and that one missed outside. And then Friday night, we'll have our fireworks night, our second fireworks night of the year. We have them on opening night as well in the Trappers' victory. It was 13-4 in that game against the Raging Roosters. And the 1-2 pitch missed low. And then we'll also on Thursday be auctioning off some game-worn jerseys for the Gary Sinise Foundation for veterans. So I'll go to a veterans charity as well. So a lot of stuff going on over this upcoming homestand. 2-2 pitch and a swing and a miss. So Brett Laura is dialed in on the mound for the Saberdogs. Strikes out two batters there. So every Thursday home game is what John said. Every Thursday home game for that Denver Air Connection giveaway. So there you go. There, that's what we got. We'll come back and we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about whatever, you know. We'll see where things roll with it. We have the seventh inning stretch. You know, actually, let's keep it here for the seventh inning stretch. We don't do that very often. I'm going to shut up, and we're going to have you listen. Seventh inning stretch. There you go. You a fan of the seventh inning stretch? Is that something that, do they do that in Canada or in international games?
Yeah, they do, and it's fun. They do. It's kind of like what you see in summer ball. They do a lot of activities during the seventh inning stretch. You'll see a lot of kids get into it. Mascots get into it. I find over in international ball, since it's still growing, they really got to entertain the fans to make it more more appealing and more popular. So they do a lot of things with the crowds. They involve the players during the game, and just a lot of little competitions in between innings. It's really fun to be a part of.
That sounds like fun. Because I guess, so in, like you mentioned, baseball still kind of trying to find its fan base in a lot of the international markets, competing with soccer, other stuff like that. And so the main sport in Canada is hockey, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever play hockey?
Yeah, I played hockey growing up, and then eventually gave it up for baseball. I was always better at baseball, but hockey was always my first love.
Oh, and that ball is hit in the air out to right field. It looked good off the bat of Deson Cruz, but it hung up there and was caught from Jacob Griffin. It was hit high off the bat. That's a first pitch out there for Tynan Shahidi on the mound for the Trappers. We talked our way right through that seventh inning stretch. So that was a quick out number one. And it will bring up Jake Barlow. And so I also realized is here the first pitch to Barlow fouled off. So that jersey auction will be for the Gary Sinise Foundation. And he was Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Did you ever watch that movie? That one is cranked to left field, and no doubt about it. Watch it fly. Goodbye solo shot from Jake Barlow.
Damn, that was a shot.
You could hear the crack of the bat from all the way up here. Gave it a ride to left field and sat back, admired that, and slowly trotting around the bases. That makes it 7-2. You think that Jake Barlow might have been sitting on a fastball there?
I think so. I do think he's one of their better hitters on the team, and we came into this game knowing that, and he definitely doesn't miss a lot of fastballs when you give it to him.
He got one there pretty much right where you would want it on a tee and turned on it and drove it over both fences in left field, over that actual fence and then over the secondary fence out of the ballpark and into the backyard of a poor neighbor over there with that blue house.
You think anyone's hit it in the little circles over there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't see. Here's my thing with that, because what you're referring to, obviously, for the people who can't see it, you've got a couple of the billboards out there just beyond the outfield fence that have circles in them. But my thing, I feel like it'd be so hard to hit it in there because you'd have to hit it on such a line,
yeah.
You know, because like, if you sky it flying down, there's a pretty small window to make that in. If you do, though...
It's impressive. The one says 15K camper giveaway.
And then the other one says 10K golf cart giveaway.
Ooh.
So the count is 3-1 after that home run from Jake Barlow. He said, you know what? Forget about those billboards. I'm just going to hit it over everything into the trees. And that one bounced for ball four. So that is a walk for Ben Lavorsi. One away here in the bottom of the seventh. Runner on first. Sabre Dogs leading it 7-2 after that moonshot from Jake Barlow. You hit any home runs in game?
Honestly, I think my last home run I've had was back in Little League.
Not really? Okay.
I've been close, but no, my last home run was back in Little League, unfortunately.
Eddie Martinez watches a first pitch breaking ball for a called strike one. Don't worry, I never hit a home run at any level. Not even an inside the park home run. The 0-1 pitch, that one bounced. Runner takes off for second, the throw down, not in time, and it rolls into center field. So that is a stolen base for Ben Lavorsi. See, the reason I couldn't hit any inside the park home runs when I was young is because my baseball skill kind of went up as the years went on. When I was young, I sucked. Mm-hmm. I was not good at all. But, you know, once I got like those late middle school, early high school years, that's when I really kind of started to progress quickly and figure it out. And so by the time that I was there, I was a tiny little contact hitter, as you can see with me, and there's a breaking ball that misses outside. I didn't have the pop, you know, to hit anything over the fence for sure.
Yeah.
And then the one time in high school that I almost had an inside the park home run, I got robbed by the left fielder when he laid out and made a catch. Otherwise it would have rolled all the way to the fence as I was already rounding second.
Those are the worst.
And I was just like, well, tip of the helmet, I'm really mad, but I'm going to act like I'm not. The count is 3-1. Eddie Martinez, the center fielder, he is 1-for-2 with two runs scored. Runner on second and 3-1 pitch and a big wave and a miss. Got a fastball up near the letters. Well, actually up near the airplane because there are no letters on the front of the Sabre Dogs jerseys, just a big airplane. What do you think of the Sabre Dogs uniforms?
I saw they have like a red, baby blue pant, like red top jersey.
Yes, and the baby blues.
Those are definitely my favorite jerseys in the entire league. They do a good job with
ball
it.
Four. Yeah, baby blue. You know, there's just something about it.
Yeah.
So, do you have a after the one out walk? Do you have a favorite major league team?
Yes, the Toronto Blue Jays. But I do hope the Montreal Expos come back, since I would love to see another MLB team in Canada, but right now it is the Blue Jays.
Hey, you know what? It's a good choice. One that I expected, as that's popped up in foul ground. Colby Rich on the move, cannot get there.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun watching them play right now with a lot of their young talent finally getting a couple years in MLB under their belt. So it's going to be an exciting year this year and the next couple years coming up with them.
Is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. one of your favorite players?
Oh, yeah. He has to be.
He's from Canada. So.
Yeah.
The 0-1 pitch. Missed Alex Crouch. The count 1-1. Runners on first and second. One away here. Bottom of the seventh. Sabre Dogs leading 7-2 over your Trappers. That's roped into right field and will get down for a base hit. So everyone moves up 90 feet. The bases are now loaded with one away here in the bottom of the seventh. And that is the count it third train that we have had come through here in this game. We've had more, believe it or not. The first time that we were here a couple of weeks ago, I think there was a game where there was five or six of them. And it's just like, all right, we get it.
Yeah, no,
I know that you're here.
Yeah, no, I would not want to.
First pitch roped into the gap in right center field, and that'll get down for a base hit. Luis Pelayo, one run will score. They're going to send around two, and there is no throw. So Martinez scores as well as Lavorsi, tacking on two more runs in the bottom of the seventh, and that makes it 9-2. And we are going to have a pitching change. But you know what? Rather than go to a commercial break, we'll leave it here. We'll leave it here with us.
We got someone new at second base. I don't think that's Trev anymore.
It's Jackson Nix.
Yeah.
You're very right. Observant eyes. So our new pitcher is going to be Colton Yanish. He has not pitched in quite a while. This will be his second outing on the mound this season. So the situation now for the Trappers, you don't want to lose in 10-run rule fashion. And with that run now coming up to the plate, Hunter Delanoy will represent that 10-run rule. So if the Saberdogs score three more runs here in the seventh, they could walk away with a run rule victory against your Trappers after the Trappers held a 2-1 lead after 3.5 innings of play. But the Saberdogs have really busted it open on offense, scoring four runs in the fourth, a run in the sixth, and now three runs in the seventh. These Saberdogs can hit.
They can. They're definitely a well-known team and definitely can hit the ball.
They're going to have a lot of guys who go on to play at the next level.
Yeah.
Some of them maybe even during this season. We already have seen one depart from the Saberdogs. Cameron Willman, one of their middle infielders. It was announced actually earlier today that he left for the Missoula Paddleheads, which is a team in the Major League Baseball Partner League. So kind of a direct pipeline to the majors. And I'm sure they will have more players just like that that leave as well. Chris Monroe could be one that you would see. You know, he has 8 home runs on this summer already. A ton of power. You've got Luis Pelayo, who's on first base now, and he is a fantastic, speedy contact power, kind of like that five-tool player in the outfield. Ben Neubert, a lot of power. And then, of course, you also have Jake Barlow. So a lot of guys on this team that, you know, by the end of this season, you could see them no longer on the roster.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get a couple more people signed. They have a very good team, very talented.
So Colton Yanish, the left-hander. So you said that you have been living in America for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Do you live in... I thought I heard someone say California, but I don't... Is it California?
Yeah, so kind of all started back my senior year of high school. I moved down to Arizona for half a year to play ball down there. Finished high school online. Ended up going to community college in North Dakota. Went to Bottineau, North Dakota, and then Williston, North Dakota. And then this January, I just moved down to California.
What do you think of California?
It's very nice. It's I'm not much of a big city type of guy, but it's definitely a different pace in life, and I'm still young, so it's definitely a good change.
Definitely. After I graduate from college, I'm hoping to move to somewhere new.
Yeah. You can't beat the weather.
First pitch from Yanish missed outside for ball one. Hunter Delanoy, he is 1-for-3 with an RBI. He represents, as I mentioned, that 10-run rule run up there in the bottom of the seventh inning. Pelayo takes off, and it's hit on the ground. It stepped on the bag for one, and the throw to home. Bounced it, and it's out of the glove of Trumpold. And that allows for Pelayo to take third. So a ground ball, Barraza fielded it at first and stepped on the bag for one. Tried to get the out at home for two, but the throw kind of got away from Trumpold, and that throw getting away allowed for Pelayo to take third. So at the end of the day, a run does score for the Saberdogs, makes it 10-2. Luis Pelayo on third, and Ben Neubert now striding in. He is 1-for-4 with a strikeout. Yanish looks in, and the first pitch, fastball, missed high. You ever pitch, Eric?
I did. I was a pitcher, I would say, most of my life till my grade 11 year in high school,
really?
Where I decided to change it and play in the outfield.
All right. And the 1-0, and there is a strike. So why the change?
I saw more opportunity as me in an outfielder. I thought definitely going into the college, it would be my best opportunity to play. But I do miss pitching a lot. It was definitely a lot of fun, and takes a special person to do it.
Popped up on the infield. Who will have it? It is Yanish, and he's under it and makes the catch for the third out. So Colton Yanish comes in and able to get two outs One run does score once he comes in, but it is not credited to his stat line. It goes to Tynan Shahidi. So four runs score for the Saberdogs in the bottom of the seventh. Trappers got some work to do. Down 10-2 through seven innings. We'll take a quick pause and come back here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Experience the Outpost Lodge overlooking the Cow Creek Bay on Lake Oahe, just 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804. Come and enjoy fine dining in the unique atmosphere of the lodge at the Lakefront Steakhouse. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Specializing in steaks and barbecue ribs, serving locally raised Cowan Ranch beef. For your next meal, head to the Outpost Lodge, 17 miles north of Pier on Highway 1804.
Not every beer has a backstory, but this one sure does. Introducing Dakota Thirst, a new honey lager brewed locally with a touch of South Dakota honey. For every beer sold, a dollar goes to the South Dakota Community Foundation. Cheers to you, South Dakota. Learn more at firstdakotabeer.com. First Dakota National Bank, member FDIC.
Do you get the live broadcast All-Star game?
Yes, I do, actually. Welcome back in here to Corbett Field. Ryan Breeden joined by Eric Lindberg. He was just asking me if I broadcast the All-Star game this year, which I do. They're in late July. I think it's July 17th.
Yeah, sounds great.
And so I will have the honor of broadcasting that game for the league, as well as the Home Run Derby. It'll be fun. Trappers here, top of the eighth inning, needing to get the offense moving here, trailing 10-2 against the Saberdogs, being out hit 13-4. Will be Carson Trumpel leading it off, facing a new pitcher. First pitch fouled off straight back. Ethan Swanson is the new pitcher, right-hander, a senior at Northwest Oklahoma State, so an Oklahoma kid from Alva. 0-1 goes the fastball and blew it right by him for strike two. The Trappers were up early in this game, leading it 2-1, going to the bottom of the fourth. The 0-2 pitch, fastball looked good, but did not get the call. It was the count 1-2. The Saberdogs offense took control in the bottom of the fourth, scoring four runs and taking the lead, and then never looking back and adding on some more runs. That one's fouled off to the right side. Saberdogs added on four more runs in the bottom of the seventh just a few moments ago to stretch us to 10-2. Trumpel needs to dig in here, maybe choke up a little bit. He does just that. And the 1-2 off speed. Nice take there. Eric, your walk-up song is German, right?
It is. It's my, I just found the song when I was in Germany this year. A player that I played against showed me it.
And a swing and a miss. Strike three. Trumpel goes down on strikes.
That
one away.
When I heard it, I knew I had to make it my walk-up song when I came to Pierre. So I like it a lot.
So is your music taste very diverse then as well? Do you do a lot of different things?
It is. I would say my favorite's country, but I love, like, European techno music.
Okay, yeah.
I've definitely been getting into that a lot lately.
First pitch to Jacob Griffin. Big swing and a miss. That fastball really pumping from Ethan Swanson. We don't have a radar gun, but looks pretty fast from up here.
And it does. It's a heavy fastball.
The 0-1 goes right back to it, and it's fouled off straight back. I don't know, if I had to guess a velocity, this is coming from the broadcaster, so take it for a grain of salt, I would guess probably around 90,
yeah,
91, 92 maybe.
I think you're about right.
If only we had a radar gun.
Yeah.
If only. Just had one set up right here. Count 0-2, Jacob Griffin. He has an RBI triple in this game. Swanson looks in. And the 0-2 pitch fouled off once again. So Griffin is battling You know what? I just thought of something. Do you ever watch? Do you watch the show Family Guy?
Yes.
We kind of have a Family Guy matchup right now. Griffin versus Swanson.
Oh, we do.
We'll see who wins it here. The 0-2, and it misses I for ball one. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big Family Guy, so I watch that a lot. What are some of your favorite shows?
I like Trailer Park Boys.
Okay.
It's definitely a stereotypical Canadian show, but Walking Dead would be my favorite.
1-2, hit up the middle, and that is through for a base hit. So it looks like Jacob Griffin wins that battle. So Peter Griffin is better than Joe Swanson, I guess. It's proved right there. The Family Guy battle is won by the Griffin. So a runner on base there. And so I just got a text from my producer, Heather, asking what your walk-up song is.
it's a German techno song. And I guess the Canadian, or not Canadian, the English saying would be, I'm up all night partying.
Okay.
Would be the name of the song.
All right. So that one missed up and into Hunter Brown, and that allowed for Jacob Griffin to take second base. The count now 1-0.
In German, it's called Eine Wochenwa. And that's the translation, I'm up all night partying.
Interesting. German, you know, it's just like a very harsh sounding language.
It does.
When you just hear it as someone who doesn't speak it. You know, it sounds like you got German and you got Russian. When you hear those two, you sound like you're getting yelled at. And it's like, no, don't stop yelling at me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like an aggressive. It sounds really aggressive, but it's just how the language is spoken.
Exactly. I wonder what people think that have never, like, that don't speak English think when they hear English speakers. I wonder what goes through their mind. Count 2-0. Hunter Brown, runner on second. Hand the pitch. Hit on the ground up the middle. Jason Cruz fields it and throws to first in time for the second out. Jacob Griffin advances to third. And now they're going to rickroll us here in the ballpark. So Rick Astley. Daniel Hab. This is his second at-bat of the game. He pinch hit earlier. And went down on strikes. Swanson looks in. And the first pitch, fastball, comes it in there for a called strike. Jacob Griffin on third base after picking up his second hit of the game. The 0-1, that one's hit right back to shortstop. Cruz fields again. He's been busy this inning, and the throw to first in time to retire the side. So the Trappers strand a runner on third base, and we will take a quick break and go to the bottom of the eighth inning. Trappers trailing it 10-2 against the Saberdogs here on the Voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their four wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp with Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
Tokyo Japanese Cuisine prepares authentic Japanese fare, including hibachi and delicious sushi, conveniently located in the Northridge Plaza. Tokyo is a great choice for eat-in or takeout in the pier area. Tokyo Japanese Cuisine is known for its variety in taste and high-quality fresh ingredients. They're open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 9 on Sundays. For carryout orders, call Tokyo Japanese Cuisine at 605-494-3388.
Welcome back in here, Corbett Field. Pier Trappers here in the bottom of the eighth inning against the Soares Valley Saberdogs, and they are trailing 10-2. Saberdogs have put up 9 runs in the last 4 innings and really gotten it to where we are at right now. Trappers were winning 2-1 after 3.5 innings of play, but that quickly turned on its head to where we're at now. The SaberDogs need just two runs here in this inning to try and mercy rule this game. Chris Monroe will lead it off. He will face Colton Yanish. And if I had one word of advice right now, do not throw a fastball to Chris Monroe.
Do you have the height on this guy?
6'5". 6'5". First pitch goes the fastball, but it misses high. And the one thing as well, as I mentioned about the fastball, Chris Monroe, a dead red hitter. The 1-0 pitch missed high. He struck out on an off-speed pitch not that long ago. He's striking out twice in this game. Both of them were off-speed. One of them a slider that we ran in near the knees, and the other one a changeup outside that got a swing and a miss. The 2-0 pitch goes to the fastball and misses inside for ball three. And we have another train coming by now. That's the fourth one.
How many? Do we know how many home runs he has so far this summer?
Eight. The 3-0, and that one is in there for a called strike. That zone expanded a little bit outwards, especially to the right-handed hitters. So Yanish, the lefty, was able to bring that one in there. The count now 3-1, and the pitch. That's nubbed foul to the right side. Barraza on the move and cannot get there. So, Eric, of all the places you visited, which one has, like, your favorite food?
Favorite food? Panama.
Really? Okay.
Panama.
All right.
I did a mission trip out to Panama to help rebuild a school down there.
That's awesome.
And the locals that came and also helped
the
us build it.
3-2 pitch fouled off. We'll do
made
it
us, like, traditional, like, lunches in, like, a big, I think it's called, like, an elephant leaf.
Okay.
And it was just, it was, like, the elephant leaf was the plate, and it was wrapped up so to keep the food warm, but it was just, like, it was rice, plantains, and then some type of protein, and it was so good.
3-2 fouled off again, so we'll do it again. Sounds really good.
Yeah.
I like trying new foods as often as I can.
Oh, yeah, you know? Me too.
You got to be adventurous.
Have you had poutine before?
I have not, but I feel like I would love it. 3-2. Oh,
cranks
to left field. That might be number 9. Back at the wall, and it is gone. Home run number 9 on the year for Chris Monroe. That one a solo shot to lead off the bottom of the eighth. That makes it 11-2, SaberDogs. Got a fastball that he could handle and kind of got under it a little bit, but
yeah.
Still had that pure strength to carry it out of there.
It was kind of close to the circle, too, that we were talking about.
It was very close. It went right over that billboard. You know, I think that someone would have to seriously hit it, like, on a line
yeah.
Exit velocity of, like, 115 to try and do that. And that one missed high. Jason Cruz, he is 0-4 in the game. He is the only SaberDog to not have a hit in this game. That one missed up and in for ball two. It's always a lonely feeling being the only one not in the hit column.
Yeah.
The 2-0 pitch and fouled off. Just for the sake of the listeners, too, you just asked me if I've ever eaten poutine. But just describe what poutine is for the people that don't know.
So it's fries, brown gravy, and then cheese curds. And if you don't make it with cheese curds, I don't consider it poutine.
Oh, yeah. The 2-1 missed up and it for ball three. I'm a big cheese curd guy.
Yeah.
I'm a big cheese snob, being from Wisconsin. So I'm very selective about my cheese. So I can appreciate a good cheese curd.
Yeah.
The 3-1 pitch. And that missed for ball four. So Cruz will reach safely, but it will remain that he's the only one not in the hit column for the SaberDogs, and most likely will remain that way. Now Jake Barlow, two hits tonight, an RBI, came on that solo shot in the last inning, and no doubter, one of two home runs we have seen in this game from the Sabre Dawgs. Both of them have come in the last two innings. First pitch, and that one missed. The sun is slowly beginning to set here, creating some long shadows across the diamond. That sun setting out there beyond right field. The 1-0 pitch, missed high, ball two.
Do you gotta say, I think this is probably my first or second favorite park we've played at this year.
Yeah. You didn't travel with us to North Iowa, did you?
No, I did not. Not yet.
Not really missing a whole lot. Population of about 800 people. You know, it's pretty much the hotel, the church, a couple of baseball fields, and a gas station. That's pretty much it. The field is interesting.
Yeah,
it's like
that.
It's like right out like in front of a cornfield. You know, you've got some fields out beyond it. You've got a few like sheds out in the outfield as well. My press box is like right on top of the plate, basically. Like the plate is there, and I'm like 10 feet back and about 30 feet up. So I'm like looking straight down at the plate. It's a unique view. And the 2-0 pitch, skied, foul to the left side, out of play. Barlow was looking for a high fastball. He got it, but it was a little bit too high to do anything with it. So just fouled it off. Count now 2-1. And the pitch. Missed up and in.
I know I haven't traveled to all the stadiums so far, but it seems like we have the strongest fan base, it seems like.
Yes, I think that you are right about that. We actually average the most fans per game as well, up over 500. Swing and a miss, another high fastball. Count 3-2.
I know as players we love seeing the community come out and support us. It means a lot to us.
Had all of the kids there for that morning game on Thursday for Baseball and Education Day, so signed a lot of autographs. 3-2, fouled off once again.
I think that's going to be a highlight playing for the Trappers. That day was a lot of fun, seeing all the little kids, and it was a lot of fun. It was a unique experience.
Definitely was. You could hear the kids really getting into the game on our crowd microphone as well. 3-2, fouled off again, so a battle. Jake Barlow hit his fifth home run of the year in that last inning, in the seventh. So his fifth home run puts him in sole possession of second place on the team, behind Chris Monroe, who just hit his ninth. A lot of power on this team. Runner on first, nobody out. The count 3-2, bottom of the eighth, and the pitch. Skied into left field. Daniel Hab on the move, but it will be Hunter Brown, the shortstop, who camps under it and makes the catch for the first out. Trappers cannot give up another run here in the bottom of the eighth. Otherwise, the game will be over. So we have a pinch hitter. At least I think we do. We need to make sure quickly. Oh, no, we don't. It's been Lavorsi still. Caught me off guard. The catcher. One away. First pitch fastball called strike one. So Ben Lavorsi is in there. For a second, I thought I saw a different number. He is 1-2. 2 runs scored. An RBI. 1-4 doubles during the game tonight. The 0-1 goes with a fastball. Looked like it was near the same spot, but does not get the call to count 1-1. Colton Yanish, the pitcher. 6'5". Tallest Trapper on the roster. The 1-1. Missed high. I don't know what it is. I feel like the stadium just went like dead silent for a second. You know, you ever have those moments where like you feel like there's something going on and then it just all stops and you just are like, what's going on here? that's kind of what I felt like that just was. The 2-1 fouled off to the third base side and out of play. Heads up there, kids. Don't get hit, please. No one hit off the top of a table.
I love seeing the little kids get the foul balls, and they're so happy about it.
It makes their day. And it's not, you know, when you're a little kid, that's one of those things that you, like, set out to do. You're like, I'm taking my glove, and I'm my only mission is to get a foul ball during this game, and if I don't, I'm going to be going home sad.
Yeah.
Hit on the ground and fielded on a dive from Barraza. Steps on first for the second out. Barraza has been fantastic with the glove in this game. Laid out to stop that one and go and step on the bag unassisted. So now two away. A runner advances up to second base. It will bring up Eddie Martinez. Jason Cruz is on second. A base hit here would probably end the game. Colton Yanish looking to keep it alive. Trappers trailing 11-2. First pitch to Martinez missed. And you know it missed high when it missed upstairs to Eddie Martinez, who, as we said, probably about 6'4", maybe 6'5". The 1-0. That one missed low. Yanish has gotten a lot of instruction in some bullpen sessions from today's starter for the Trappers, Casey Kosheva. I've seen him out there instructing him with his mechanics. This is his first time out there since that change. The 2-0, there's a called strike. And, you know, I see a little bit more of a, I see a little bit of a difference from Colton from the last time he pitched. He seems like he's more, not straight over the top, kind of more downward a little bit. Looks like he has a little more command coming home and able to snap off the fastball a little bit better.
I definitely think with a few more innings, he's going to be a definitely a dominant pitcher for us coming towards the middle to end of the season.
He's got the frame, so can really get the arm out there and really snap it. The count is 3-1, though, to Eddie Martinez. And the pitch. And that missed high for ball four. That was close. It was a little close to me. The runner's on first and second. They'll bring up Alex Crouch.
Number seven, Alex.
He's having himself a day at the plate. 3-for-4, 2 RBI, 2 runs scored, a double, and a base hit. So Crouch here could look at a 4-hit ball game. First pitch, fastball, and there's a called strike on the outside. I wonder what the postgame meal is going to be today.
I hope it's pasta.
That would be great. I hope it's anything but pizza. That's all I want.
I've had enough of that.
Same here. The 0-1 swing and a miss. Strike two on the off speed. I think I counted during our road trip where we played 13 road games and 14. 13 road games out of 14 games. I think that I counted 8 or 9 times where we had pizza for a pregame or postgame meal. 0-2, and it just missed outside. At this phase, I'm like, I'm over it. I don't want pizza for a long time. And when I go back to school, because I know that this is not, I know that we're going to eat pizza probably quite a bit more over the course of this summer. Mm-hmm. When I go back to school, I'm probably not eating pizza again for a couple months. The 1-2, crank to right field. That will get down for extra bases. They will send Cruz around third, and he will score, and that will end this ball game. So a 4-hit ball game for Alex Crouch. 3 RBI, that last one down the line, driving in Deson Cruz to end it. So the Saberdogs win it in run rule fashion, 12-2 after 8 innings. We will take a quick break and come back for the Trapper at post game. A big thanks to Eric Lindberg, who was up here with me for the conclusion of that one. Gave some great insight on international travel and baseball and just in general, you know, a fun guest to have. But we'll take a quick break here and come back for the post game. Again, Final score, Saberdogs 12, Trappers 2. Here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Pier Trappers Baseball on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7, has been brought to you by Grey Goose Motors, the Outpost Lodge, Tokyo Japanese Cuisine, the Corner Station in the Crossing, Classic Car Wash, Garen Boyle Sales, Avera St. Mary's Hospital, First Dakota National Bank, and Pier Regional Airport. Stay tuned. The Trapper Postgame Show, Trapper Wrap, is next here on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
Now you can book flights from Pier Regional Airport through United.com and American Airlines. If traveling to Denver, schedule your flight at DenverAirConnection.com. Plus, the morning flight is now at 8:20, allowing you to connect to the majority of continued flights. Avoid the crowds, enjoy free parking, and no driving when you fly from Pier Regional Airport. One-way rates as low as $59, 50-passenger jets, and a one-hour direct flight to Denver. Skip the drive. Fly from Pier Regional Airport.
Trappers game coverage on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7, now continues with Trapper Wrap, a recap of tonight's game. Let's go back to the ballpark.
Welcome back in here, Corbett Field, to the Trapper Wrap post-game show. Trappers fall 12-2 at the hands of the Soares Valley Saberdogs. You know, it was a good game for around halfway through it here. The Trappers got down 1-0 early, but then rallied back and scored two runs in the top of the third. It was an RBI triple from Jacob Griffin and then a sacrifice fly from Hunter Brown. It gave the Trappers the lead, their first lead of the season against these Saberdogs in now eight games between these two teams. The Trappers held that lead for an inning until the bottom of the fourth when the Saberdogs put on four runs on four hits. It was three doubles in that inning. One of them from Alex Crouch, who is probably the player of the game for the Saberdogs with his 4-for-5 performance at the plate. So the Saberdogs took back the lead in the fourth and then never looked back. The Trappers, after that two-run inning in the third, could not put up any more runs for the remainder of the game. And the Saberdogs put up four runs in the fourth, a run in the sixth, four runs in the seventh, and two runs in the eighth. In total, 15 hits for the Saberdogs. Four doubles, two home runs from Jake Barlow and Chris Monroe. And then all the rest of them singles. That last hit of the game to end it, though, in that run rule fashion. Another RBI from Alex Crouch, as I mentioned, 4-for-5, 3 RBI, scored 2 runs, so really the main facilitator there. And when you combine the efforts of their leadoff man, Luis Pelayo, as well as their second leadoff, that's kind of what you would call that number 9 hitter, they combined for 7 of the 15 hits for the Saberdogs, so it was really Luis Pelayo and Alex Crouch carrying the way offensively. And then a couple of power strokes, as I mentioned, from Barlow and Monroe got us to where we are at now, which, of course, is a final score of 12-2 for the Trappers. As I mentioned, the offense was there early, putting up two runs in the third. But then the starting pitcher for the Saberdogs, Brett Lora, really found his groove. In total, he went 7 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, just 4 hits, all 4 of them coming in the early stages of the game. The Trappers did not record a hit. They recorded just 1 hit in the final 5 innings, rather. So after those 2 runs in the third, for the remainder of the game, they were picked up just 1 hit the rest of the way. So the offense just ran ice cold after that. So we will take a quick break. Actually, I'll mention as well, so Brett Lora picked up the win for the Saberdogs, and then for the Trappers, it was Casey Kosheva picking up the loss. 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, and 5 strikeouts. So we will take a quick break and come back here for our post-game interview with Trappers coach Jamie Habiger on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.
The Corner Station in Pierre can help you get ready for all of your activities and trips all summer long. Fuel up your car, grab snacks, drinks, and coffee, and get on the road so you can make the most of the beautiful summer months. Save 10 cents off per gallon when you pay in-store with cash or a check. They are open every day at 7 a.m. Stop into the Corner Station located at 103 East Pleasant Drive on the S-Curve in Pierre.
Business owners, have you been exploring advertising more on social media or even looking at advertising and streaming services? This is John with DRG Media Group. Did you know that we offer complete marketing solutions that can have your business on the radio, online, in applications on your customers' smartphones, across social media, and even on popular streaming services? Give us a call today at 224-8686 and let the team at DRG Media Group take care of all your marketing needs so you can get back to the important thing, your business and your customers.
Ah, why am I so sore? There are everyday moments.
Hey, hold the ladder! Hold the ladder!
Yeah, that hurt. And there are epic moments.
When a moment creates a health need, visit the experts at Avera Orthopedics. We're moving health forward so you can tell the story. Learn more at avera.org/orthopedics.
You can listen to any of your favorite DRG Media Group stations just about anywhere. All you need to do is download the app. Just log on to drgnews.com or download it directly from the App Store or Google Play. You'll get high-quality sound, up-to-date news, weather, and sports stories and video, podcasts, and, of course, your favorite music, notifications, and more. If you don't already have it, download it right now and see what you've been missing. The DRG News app, brought to you by the Golden Buffalo Casino. When you're ready to wash your car, head to Classic Car Wash on Wells and Pier. Use any of their four wash bays with card processing for your convenience. And features like spot-free rinse and the best vacs in town. Needing to wash your boat? Use the easy access outside bay. Keep your car looking sharp. With Classic Car Wash on Wells Avenue in Pier.
And welcome back in here to the Trapper Wrap post-game show. Ryan Breeden, joined now by Trappers coach Jamie Habiger. Coach, 12-2, the final score, but, you know, I saw something in the early innings there from your team that I had not seen, especially from the offense against the Saberdogs, and that was confidence.
Yeah, I agree. We came out hitting the ball, bringing guys in, and then their offense struck.
Yeah, the offense, as we mentioned, they put up four runs in the fourth, a run in the sixth, four in the seventh, and two runs in the eighth. But Brett Laura, it looked like, for the Saberdogs, really after giving up those two runs in the third, kind of slammed the door for most of the rest of the way. You guys in the last five innings picked up just one hit. So what changed?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. You know what? He settled down and started working that slider a little better, and we were chasing it and kind of caught us off balance, and we couldn't produce anything. We had a couple guys on a few innings and just missed a couple timely hits.
And so on the flip side of things for you guys, Casey Kasheva on the mound, he looked good early, kind of got dinged there in the fourth before ultimately getting removed after five innings. What did you see from Casey, and then as he progressed through the through his start, you know?
You know what, he just does a great job. He got in trouble there in the first inning, walked a couple guys, ground ball right back to him, double play, and got out of that inning. And it was a great job by him to have bases loaded, no outs, and come back and get him. And I think that picked up his confidence a little bit, and then he just lost a little bit in the fourth. But he's a great pitcher, great leader on the team.
You mentioned getting out of that jam early on in the first. Do you think that kind of radiated some confidence over to the team in its entirety to maybe be able to take that lead there going into the fourth?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we're so used to being down against these guys that they got that four innings there, four runs in the fourth, and you know what, kind of hurt our confidence there, but we're getting better, which is the important thing.
So what was that kind of the gist of your message out there to the team after the game?
Yeah, it was out there. You know, I just told them, keep hitting it, keep swinging it. This is a good hitting team, and we'll get them.
So you subbed out Noah McCreary there a couple of innings ago for Daniel Hab. Was that just for matchups? Was that a little bit of injury related?
Yeah, he's got a little bone bruise, I think, on his top hand, so his right hand, and it's just kind of irritating him when he slid in there, so he's kind of taking some precaution and letting him sit a couple innings.
Gotcha. Probably a smart decision. Okay, well, who's going to be on the mound tomorrow?
We're going with Caleb, the workhorse of the team. He's going to come out and see how it goes. We're getting a good, all our pitchers in, so we're going to start actually having some guys. You know, Tynan did a great job coming in, shutting the door right out. He's a position player, and he said he could throw, and so he came in and did a pretty good job.
Absolutely, and so we'll see Caleb Hay tomorrow, and we will talk to you tomorrow for pregame as well. I'll have that Would You Rather question loaded up, but that will be it for our interview here tonight. Coach, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Go Trev.
So as our final closing here, Trappers take an early lead in this one, but then the Saber Dogs offense shows up and really slams the door. 12-2, the final score. So the Trappers now fall to 0-8 against the Saber Dogs this year. That really is a majority of the team's losses. Half to be exact. Trappers now 7-16. So 8 of those 16 losses have come at the hands of these Saber Dogs. On the flip side of things, Soares Valley is now 22-1. Are 21-1 in 22 games played, just one loss. So these two teams will be back at it again tomorrow. Start time of 6:35. Ryan Breeden here. I will be on the call for that one tomorrow, but for tonight, I'm going to sign off and go get some food. You know, unfortunately, pizza is the post-game meal again, but I'm going to maybe see if I can go snag a burger instead from the concession stands. Anything. I just don't want pizza. I know I sound like a spoiled brat right now, but I'll eat it if I need to. You know, ultimately it is what it is. So I'm going to sign off for now here from Corbett Field. Reminder, final score, 12-2. Saber Dogs win it over your Trappers. I will be back here tomorrow night. So in the meantime, I'm signing off saying good night and see you guys tomorrow afternoon.
Trapper Wrap, a recap of tonight's Pure Trappers action. Thank you for joining us and stay with us all season long on the voice of the Trappers, River 92.7.